There can be no other 97.3. No need to change. Keep it tuned to city. You're number one. Don't look no further. We've got it all covered. City FM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music, talk, inspiration, in perspective.
Express yourself. Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM, 97.3.
If I was an eagle, I would lift myself, spread my wings and fly. If I was a lion, I would run into the jungle and give the loudest growl. And if I was the sun, yes, I would rise early in the morning and shine my light so bright. If I was an angel, I would sound the alarm for the whole of creation to bow at your feet.
Yes, unleashing the power of
radio.
This is City
FM. This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Minutes past six, City Breakfast Show with a song from the man called Flo.
For the rest of my days,
I've come to give you glory.
Wanna give God some.
I've come to give you fans. You deserve it.
Father, who art in heaven,
welcome to the City Breakfast Show, the 17th of April 2024. It's the best morning show in Ghana. It brings you all the latest information, great questions, interesting analysis.
Praise, let me give.
Starting on the wings of a song.
Let me see you put your praise.
Attitude is the extra plus in leadership. Some people say attitude is everything. Well, attitude is not everything. Because if you're incompetent and you have a right attitude, it's still not good enough. But attitude makes everything better. Now, the thing about attitude is you can increase or improve your attitude 100%. Now, let's take it this way. You may not technically be able to improve your skill by more than one or two notches. If you're not a good footballer, there's a limit to how much football we can put in you. But we can improve your attitude a whole lot. It's just the way you think. So the extra plus in your leadership, the extra plus in your life is attitude. And your attitude is revealed in adversity. So prepare beforehand your reaction to some situations. A healthy attitude is as great as great medicine. It makes everything better. It's the extra plus that makes your leadership wonderful. Business is brought to you by ADB. Serving customers with a great attitude. Call us on 0302-224-043. Let's talk about enhancing your business performance with a variety of personal loans and top-ups at highly reduced interest rates and longer tenors of up to 6 years. ADB, the People's Bank. ADB, truly a Greek and more.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
City 97.3. More variety.
X35 share. Song called Believe. Jumping straight into the headlines. Newspaper review brought to you by Total Energy's Marketing Ghana PLC. Offering you the specially formulated quartz engine oil with age resistance technology. A breakthrough innovation that ensures optimal performance for your engine and improves protection against mechanical wear by up to 74%. Choose quartz from Total Energy's today. Choose the engine oil that keeps your engine running efficiently and effectively. Quartz your engine, keep your engine younger for longer. And of course, the newspaper review segment is also sponsored by Fidelity Bank. And we've partnered with the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System to make sending money to your loved ones easier and more cost-effective. PAPS is an easy way to transfer funds across the continent, whether it's to Nigeria, Gambia, Liberia, Sierra Leone, or Guinea. We make it easy. You get it in the same currency. and no forex losses. And we're really trying to resuscitate the morning. It's a really, I don't know.
No, Charlie, you are playing Asoko.
You like this song?
Oh, you are reminding me of my old days.
You know, the way they dance to this one. It's like you are running, but you're not running.
You know, is it this one, though? Yes. They play it between around 2 a.m.
Hey.
Hey, why are you playing
that? Hey. No, wait, I'll explain. Around 2 a.m. to 4 there.
What, were you a DJ?
When you go to dance, you know dance.
Hey.
I'll ask you. So this is what you play. When you finish with this, then you go to reggae. So reggae is the one you play at dawn to close the...
So this is when the thing is at the high point.
No, it's Asoko. And let me say good morning to all the lovers of V103, 7-Eleven, Zaya. No, Charlie.
You are mentioning things.
V103, they are legendary.
Charlie. It is these days that we have, you know, this
Spotify, Apple Music,
Charlie,
Shazam and things.
No.
Those days, you need spinners.
Charlie, spinners to come and spin for you.
Yeah.
So inside Vikabamba, Hotel Vikabamba, that's where we're doing our thing.
So V103, do they still exist?
I have not heard from them.
You know what I remember of them? They used to use this watercolor to do this poster.
Yeah.
So there's this white paper and they'll use green or red
to do that.
Yeah. They'll write it and put on the wall.
13th December.
Yeah.
And the right venue.
Yes, inside Hotel Vikabamba. But I was spinning, Bernard. So this one, around 3, no, 2, you, 3.
I've given up.
We spin, go, plenty places.
The only work you haven't done yet is president. That's the only work. You have done everything. Nika, spinner, meat.
Self with two.
No,
there's two. He hasn't done Osofo. But one Osofo and president, those are the once he clears the two finish.
No, they are colleagues. Those one, no man takes that honor.
I'll ask you. No, greetings to all the DJs in the past.
So I'm taking you back, eh?
Yeah, Charlie. No.
So what were you using? Turntables?
You could use turntables or even the cassettes that you could play. And then when the pioneer tables also came.
But how come for City, I've known you for almost 17 years, 18, you haven't done any spinning here?
The reason I actually...
It's only politics, parliament, elections. No,
but you would know. You would know that when I first came here, I think the mindset was actually to do DJ.
You wanted to be a DJ?
Yeah.
But you didn't tell me.
Charlie, let's go into the newspaper. The Informer says this morning, Kumasi Hercules strikes. Arrest Ashanti Region ECG boss. Charlie, this story, we have to look into it well, Bernard. We're told the Kumasi regional, the regional minister in Kumasi is doing something that is disturbing. Also, 1 million bribery allegation. Yoko exonerates contractors as well as the ministry responsible for rules. Describe Professor Adai's claim as baseless. And cash waterfall mechanism audit. PURC cracks whip on ECG. This is according to the directive coming in from the PURC. And addressing increasing insecurity challenges, Ghana calls for collaborative efforts. This is according to Kan Dapa.
The Daily Graphic says 2024 Green Ghana Day launched, 10 million trees to be planted.
Hey.
And Samuel Jinapor's picture is here.
Where are the trees?
In other stories, former Maslock boss jailed 10 years in absentia. That's on page 16 of the Daily Graphic. Of course, our very own good friends, the ECG, is also here on the front page. Of course, the graphic is highlighting something we spoke about yesterday of that heavy fine on them. And on the Odor Basin, bridges causing floods to be removed. The rains have started, so we need to react. Plus, if you go to the back page of the Daily Graphic, flooding beckons after half-hour downpour. And Health Ministry presents 4 ambulances to hospitals.
There are reports of Dubai underwater in a serious way. Let me take you to the Ghanaian Times. Boost for reforestation. Green Ghana Day launch to plant 10 million tree seedlings nationwide. Also on the front page, we're told that former Maslock CEO jailed 10 years in absentia. Head of operations gets 5 years.
And then also, the economic impact of Akosombo Kpom Dam spillage. Affected communities lose 1.6 billion Ghana cedis in agric livelihoods. This is according to the Food and Agriculture Organization's assessment. And then also, Omnibusic Bank posts historic 150 million Ghana cedis in profit in 2023.
The Daily Guide says former Maslock boss officer jailed 15 years. I've just omitted the descriptive they used here because I think it's a little unfair. You know. Anyway, PRC is here and they are fine on the ECG. My credit score gets credit bureau license. And Men's Gold customers petitioned AG over Namwan properties.
Okay, let me take you to the new finder. GRA steps up game to enforce tax on foreign incomes of resident Ghanaians. Also, the story about Tamaklu is also here on the front page, said in Tamaklu. And then also, religious leaders must champion tolerance as well as peace. This is coming in from Na Toshi.
The Republic Press says, judge weeps for Ghana as she jails NDC, said Na Tamaklu. 10 years. Ghana's external debt deal still in the works. That's coming in from Finance Minister Amin Adam. And a PAC ranking member says, secure bank guarantee for steady leave with pay.
Let me take you to the Chronicle. The story about greening Ghana makes the front page. Also, court chastises AG for failing to seek extradition of ex-Maslock boss. We're talking about Senator Tamaklu. And then also, Natoshi to GBC pastors, use your pulpit to preach peace.
Okay, the Inquisitor says enlistment into police service. DCE confirms sale of protocol. Hey, NDC to outdoor running mate on the 24th of April. UCC council chair ruffles feathers over decision to withdraw court suit against contractor. And there's something on the lady described as the Chinese Iron Lady. So it looks like the Inquisitor is giving us a bit of info there.
The new publisher says it has nothing to hide, nothing to fear. And this morning they say 15 years jail term for ex-Maslock boss and operations officer. Natoshi is preaching peace and tolerance on the front page of the newspaper. And Yana declares June 7th as Green Ghana Day. And then also this story that you told us about yesterday. Half-naked man protests anti-LGBT bail.
The Daily Analyst also has the ex-Maslock boss's story here. Another story, Sam Jonah launches GJA 75th anniversary today. FAJ extends warm birthday wishes to GJA president. His birthday was yesterday. In terms of the economy and finance minister and BOG governor are leading Ghana's delegation to the IMF World Bank spring meeting in Washington.
All right.
And of course, the NDC's flag bearer, to be outdoored in a few days.
Let me take you to the Daily Post. NDC to officially outdoor, as you stated, its 2024 running mate, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Agyeman. Also, Mahama accuses Akufo-Addo of mortgaging the future of Ghanaian youth. Recommissioning of a Mary power plant, an indication of a clueless government. That's coming in from the NDC. We're told that ceremony is happening later today in Kumasi. And show me the projects from the loans you have taken. Mahama is daring Nanado Dankwa Akufo-Addo.
Let's go to the BNFT.
And the BNFT says this morning, Ghana Stock Exchange, Lesheho signal confidence in capital market. Also, we're told sluggish pace of renewable energy development sparks concerns. And BOJ grants provisional credit bureau license to My Credit Score. Some other stories, including an article here that says, leveraging blockchain and AI capabilities to develop unified payment rails for advanced fraud detection and prevention in real-time payments.
All right.
That's a beautiful one you need to look at.
Coming in from who? Okay.
Just the front page of the Herald newspaper. I have that virtually. And it says, NPP back in Kufuor era cocaine costume again. It's a question. As top regional executive goes under international narcotics trafficking probe. Minister lands Ghana in $3.6 billion judgment debt over abandoned Boankra project. And Ofori Tinkran highlights his achievements and bids SNIT staff farewell. Of course, there's a former Maslok boss story here. And UCC Group accuses VC of financial rot, demands inquiry amidst council's weakness.
Let's go online, citynewsroom.com. NDC solved major causes of Doomsaw in 2015, Edward Bauer says. Also, he says impasse between Gridco ECG over Doomsaw is unnecessary. Minority says the government's renaming of Ameri plant is a fraudulent move. And of course, the deputy AG says former Maslok CEO will be extradited to serve her deal term. In other headlines, Kwabena Donkor is commenting on the 5.8 million PURC fine on ECG board members. He says it's extremely refreshing. And then Fitch predicts weakening profitability for Ghanaian banks due to the BOG's CRR policy. Mm. And I'm sure you've heard this already. Four persons remanded for allegedly stealing ECG laptops. And of course, my Joy Online, there are headlines this morning. We are working to extradite convicted former Maslok CEO. This is the deputy AG speaking. Also, IMF projects 4.4% growth rate for Ghana in 2025. Rising cost of fuel, GPRTU pushes for 30% increase in transport fares. And Poole condemns arrest of ECG Ashanti East GM for disconnecting power to KTU. So that's a story that's unraveling from Kumasi. If you go to Star FM, the jailing of Mr. Maklu, the headline is quite interesting. An educated thief is capable of causing more havoc than a robber with AK-47 gun. They're quoting the judge in the judgment she read out. And of course, three EC staff students remanded over stolen EC biometric devices. And of course, I dare Baumia to name a successful policy initiated, according to Joseph Amoa. And then the ECG boss is commenting, the regional minister for Ashanti is commenting on the ECG matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Class FM, the lead story, Alan launches Alliance for Revolutionary Change Today, ARC.
Okay.
Finance Minister, BOG Governor, to lead our delegation to the IMF World Bank Spring Meetings. And of course, the story about the jailing of Mr. Maklo, former Maslok CEO, will be extradited to serve a 10-year jail sentence, according to the Deputy Attorney General. Ghana News Agency is leading with the World Bank IMF Spring story, and also NDC's decision to opt out of the EGISU by election. Global stories, US and EU eye new sanctions on Iran after attack. 50,000 Russian soldiers confirmed dead by the BBC. This is covering the war.
The BBC, where?
Well, and then, of course, we know all the brinkmanship happening in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly settler attacks on Palestinians follow Israeli boys killing. So quite a lot of things happening there as well. Let's get into the details.
Yes, I want to take you to Kumasi. This story is disturbing on many levels, and we have to look at it. Abuse of power. Kumasi Hercules strikes. Arrests region Ashanti region ECG boss. The story in the Informer says, in what amounts to an utter abuse of political power, the Ashanti regional minister, Simon Osemensa, has ordered the police to arrest and detain the region's manager of the electricity company of Ghana, ECG, Mark Asumani Wiafe, for unjustifiable reasons, according to the paper.
Mm.
Now, it all happened when a revenue mobilization team from Accra embarked on a disconnection exercise in the region, during which the Kumasi Technical University, KTU, was affected for owing an amount of 1.2 million Ghana cedis for power supplied to it. Now, consequently, the regional minister, who was unhappy over the disconnection, directed, allegedly, that the institution be reconnected immediately. Now, reacting to the minister's directive, Mr. Asumani Wiafe explained that his outfit was not the one that carried out the disconnection exercise and so could not restore power unless an order from the energy ministry or the ECG headquarters came to that effect.
Mm.
Now, following the explanation, we did not jive with the minister's ears, according to the paper. In a Rambo style, he, the minister, ordered the police to arrest and detain the regional ECG manager for showing disrespect to him by not carrying out his orders, which the paper describes as unlawful. As a result, the police carried out the minister's orders and consequently arrested, detained, took a statement before granting himself recognition. Following the incident, the general secretary of the public Michael Yantiti, described as unquestionable the actions of the Ashanti regional minister against the regional manager of ECG, and called it abuse of political power
when these individuals are performing their legitimate duties. It goes on to give you further details, and if indeed this was what happened, it is completely unacceptable.
ECG is facing so many challenges. Yes. Their directors have been fined 5.8 million cedis. Former energy minister is commenting on this. He says a refreshing move to have that fine, although he thinks they can appeal it. Edward Bauer is saying that NDC solved the major causes of doing so in 2015 by their investment in the power sector. That's an interview you had with Umaru Sanda Amadu. And then the NDC is also criticizing the government for renaming the Ameri plant. They call it a fraudulent move. So all of those power-related stories coming through this morning.
Page 16 of the Daily Graphic. Former Maslok boss jailed 10 years in absentia. Now, Justice Agbenosi writes for the Daily Graphic, and he says, the High Court in Accra yesterday sentenced a former boss of the Microfinance and Small Loan Center, Maslok, Sedna Tamaklu Atiunu, and a former operations manager of the organization, Daniel Aksim, to 10 years and 5 years in prison, respectively, for causing financial loss of 90 million cedis to the state. This was after the court presided over by Justice Efia Siwasa Oboke, the Court of Appeals judge sitting with additional responsibility, and the High Court judge found the two guilty of 78 counts of causing financial loss to the state, stealing, conspiracy to steal, money laundering, and causing loss to public property in contravention of public procurement law. Before passing the sentence, the presiding judge underscored the need for civil servants to be firm in their daily activities and their political activities, adding, quote, fortunately for us, we don't have a political leaning, even if you are dismissed wrongly, we can sue. End quote. He further called on parents to raise their children to have both education and integrity. And then that's where the quote comes in.
When you listen to the judge, you're really angry because the fact of the case that presented before you is not left in order. But the deputy AG has been speaking, and he is saying that there will be a reckoning that the former CEO will be extra protected. If you want to see the news,
but if you go to the chronicle, the angle about the judge not being happy with the AG is captured on page 2 of the paper. Court chastises AG for failing to seek extradition of ex-Maslok boss. Now, Ben is Bessé reporting from the court, says Justice Sewasa Rebotri, a court of appeal judge sitting as additional judge of the High Court, has chastised prosecution for failing to take action to extradite Sedina Christine Tamaklu Atiunu to face 78 counts of criminal charges. Now, her ladyship, Mrs. Asarebotri, could not come to terms with how the Republic failed to take advantage of international cooperation to have the former chief executive officer of Maslok, Sedina Tamaklu Atiunu, brought back from the U.S. to face a criminal trial.
Meanwhile, Deputy AG has disclosed that government is working hard to ensure that the lady you mentioned is extradited to Ghana to serve a 10-year jail term. The High Court on Tuesday, April 16, sentenced her. Now, the Herald's angle is that there are three pending appeals. That's the angle they use for the stories. Former Maslok officials jailed despite three pending appeals. That's the angle they use. Now, the other story this morning is in the Graphic, Nathan.
Well, the Odor Basin, in relation to that, bridges causing floods to be removed. Timothy Nyengbe, he writes for the Daily Graphic, and he says several bridges and structures across the Odor Channel have been earmarked for reconstruction or removal, to allow for the free flow of rainwater to prevent perennial flooding in the capital. The identified bridges, the railroad bridge at Odona, and Odona Graphic Road Bridge, the Abosokai Bridge near the Central Mosque, Agbogbloshie Bridge, and the Domi Pillar 2 Bridge, are plagued with engineering defects that make them obstruct the free flow of rainwater into the Odor drain. They are to be reconstructed as part of the $200 million World Bank-funded Garrett project, which was rolled out to address the perennial flooding in Accra. In addition, two small bridges at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle have also been proposed for removal from the Odor drain. Now, on the back page of the Daily Graphic, yesterday it rained for a bit. We were on air when it rained.
And what did they find?
Now, it says a half-hour downpour yesterday morning did not cause any havoc, but again indicated how Accra remained exposed to flooding. Suddenly, the Odor drain around the Kwame Nkrumah interchange and the Agbogbloshie end of the drain were filled to the brim, signifying an overflow had the rains continued. The rain, which started at about 9:25 a.m., left ponds of water around Odor and Adabraka, and high levels of flood waters on road surfaces at Kaneshi, Kaswa, and other parts of the capital.
It's a warning to the Minister for Works and Housing to expedite work on these things, because the rains look like they'll come with a lot of vengeance this year.
Yeah, Bernard, you know, in the papers this morning, there's talk of boost for reforestation.
So the greening Ghana, give us the highlights.
Yeah, so basically, the Ghanaian Times, for instance, has this story by Yahaya Nuhu Nada from Tamilin. Says the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Mr. Samuel Abujinapo, on Tuesday, together with the traditional authorities in the northern region, launched the 2024 edition of the Green Ghana Day with the target to plant 10 million tea seedlings across the country. Now, the launch on the theme Growing for a Greener Tomorrow, which is the fourth edition of the Green Ghana Day, form part of the government's aggressive afforestation and reforestation program.
So, but I think we need to audit these trees.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly my point.
We spent a lot of money planting trees. I'm not sure if anybody's tracking where the trees are.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any new forest reserves? Mm-hmm. Because what look, Accra is getting hotter and hotter.
Mm-hmm.
I see fewer and fewer trees around. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. Of course, mm-hmm. this thing was launched like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you don't expect a tree to grow fully.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be a way in which we will know which areas these trees have been planted and whether they are doing well.
Yeah. Still with that matter, if you go to page 4, they have a brilliant editorial, which I fully endorse.
Mm-hmm.
Green Ghana, but good environmental protection is better. So basically, they are insisting that it is okay to be planting trees, but the ones that we already have,
the people are cutting
cutting it down, and government is failing to do anything serious about it. We need to
Are selling all lands, including parks and gardens, to private developers.
Can you imagine?
The whole place is a concrete jungle.
Uh-huh.
And then you are planting trees. Who are you deceiving? Now, GPRTU...
One more before you go, Bernard.
No, I'm not going. I'm not going anywhere.
Affected communities lose 1.6 billion in agric livelihoods, according to FAO assessment, following the floods in...
1.6 billion. Minister of Agric was there.
Mm-hmm.
Rising cost of fuel. GPRTU pushes for 30% increase in transport fares. This is my Joy Online story. The Ghana Private Road Transport Union is advocating for a 30% increase in transport fares in a bid to address the escalating operational expenses faced by members due to hikes in fuel prices. Deputy PRO Samuel Amoa highlighted the union stance while contributing to the topic, the rising cost of fuel, why you must brace for more hikes. According to Mr. Amoa, discussions with the Transport Ministry commenced last Wednesday and are scheduled to resume this week. He further recalled GPRT's earlier attempt in January to implement a 20% fare hike, which was met with objection from the ministry, citing procedural discrepancies. So, guys, 30% increase is coming. Oh. Mm-hmm. And it's not just transport fares. Oh. Rent is up. Power, actually, plenty things. We'll discuss that later on during the show. Final story, Nathan. There's one here in the Herald. Operating Crown highlights his achievements. And I like this. So when the SNIT boss was going out, he had a meeting with his staff.
Mm-hmm.
He basically spoke about how the SNIT he met.
He met.
And the SNIT is leaving. And Scott, if the facts there are to be believed, is that a really good job? Lot,
yeah.
And he says, I didn't take a personal inboard fees or sitting allowance as SNIT boss.
Oh, wow.
You know, he revealed that in his entire 7-year tenure, I didn't take a personal inboard fees, which is why I thought it was sad the way he was removed. Because we've been following SNIT, interviewing SNIT.
Yes.
There's been an improvement. You don't reward a person who has done such a job with such a public... You know, and then later I write a letter to say, well, he didn't do anything bad. So why did you have to do all that in the first place?
You see, that's why it's important as part of transparency, when people are appointed and they are removed subsequently, it is important that on the day of appointment, they tell us why.
Yeah.
And then also on the day of their removal, at least they should know exactly why.
The public service is tough enough. When some people go there and make a difference, we shouldn't victimize them. Mm-hmm. Do you understand me? We've been covering SNIT. We know what SNIT was 10 years ago. You get me? So I think it's a bit unfair. Now he had to list all his achievements, and I'm sure you can challenge, but if you listen to the specific things that he said he met and that he did, that's a fantastic job.
Yeah.
You see, so Charlie, let's not do that. It's not fresh. Anyway, that's Richie's guy, Louis Akora. They come with his new haircut. All of that and more. When we come back, stay with us.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
7 o'clock, City Business News, brought to you by Access Bank, MTN and Goyal. Need Latilati has the details. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernard. Hello and welcome to the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyal and Access Bank. Coming up, IMF project a robust 4.4% growth rate for Ghana in 2025, plus government insists it is close to signing a deal with external creditors in the restructuring of external debt. It's midweek. Thank you for joining us this morning. My name is Ni Lati Lati. Details of our stories now. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, has projected a robust growth of 4.4% for Ghana in 2025. This forecast marks a significant projection from the 2.8% growth rate projected for 2024. The IMF made this announcement in its latest April World Economic Outlook. At the ongoing spring meetings in Washington, D.C., it comes to underscore the growing optimism about Ghana's positive economic trajectory. More in the following report. This latest projection by the IMF positions Ghana ahead of some major economies in Africa in terms of growth rate for 2025. The forecast surpasses the World Bank's projection of 3.3% for the same period. Ghana's economic prospects remain promising, according to the IMF, despite facing various economic challenges, including high debt levels, double-digit inflation rate, and currency instability post-COVID-19. The IMF's confidence in Ghana's economy can be attributed to the ongoing IMF program, which aims to address several pressing issues to achieve overall economic recovery. The fund has noted signs of a strong recovery following Ghana's participation in the program. The latest forecast reflects a 1.6% increase from the IMF's 2024 projection of 2.8% for Ghana, aligning closely with the government end-year target. However, the IMF anticipates a decline of 2.2% in Ghana's current account balance, which measures trade and financial activities in the country. Despite this, the IMF maintains that the overall outlook for Ghana's economic growth is set for a significant rebound from next year. A business desk report, more on the economy, because government says it is committed to finalizing a comprehensive debt restructuring deal with its external creditors. It knows that the positive macroeconomic indicators in Ghana, including the IMF's staff-level agreement on the second review on Ghana's extended credit facility, will send a positive signal to the creditors. Dr. Stephen Amoah is a deputy finance minister.
Inflation rate was about 54.1, now it's around 23. Almost all the primary macro indicators, reserve, and then if you even look at fiscal balance, which of course is, in my opinion, what is between our revenue and our expenditure, now it's narrowing, I mean fast. In fact, it's even going beyond our target. And GDP, we targeted 1.5, and then the revised version was about 2.3, now we are doing 2.9. So all these are indicative of the fact that the very things that made the same external creditors have issues with them, with us, we are doing so much wrong. It's not today. All the performance parameters of variables are pointing to the fact that Ghana is so much doing well, so much doing. But of course, the external creditors, they want to be sure, they want to probably authenticate what is going on. They probably also have their target. I can assure you, we are on course, things are okay, and we hope to get there.
That was a Deputy Minister for Finance, Dr. Stephen Amoah. The National Petroleum Authority, NPA, is urging oil marketing companies and LPG marketing companies to comply with the new price floors directive issued by the regulator as part of the implementation of the petroleum product pricing guidelines to avoid sanctions. The NPA for the first time began implementing the price floor in the second pricing window of April, with petrol pegged at 13 cedis while diesel is pegged at 13 cedis 7 pesos, that of LPG going for 10 cedis 52 pesos. City Business News' Daniel Sakite has more in the following report.
For many industry players, such as energy think tanks in the downstream petroleum sector, implementing the price floor in a deregulated market is flawed. City News visits to some OMCs in the capital revealed general levels of compliance for the second pricing window in April, as some OMCs, which usually had lower prices compared to lead players such as Guel and Total Energies, were complying with the directive. Some facility managers told City Business News that they were minded by development in the downstream petroleum sector. The National Petroleum Authority has meanwhile justified the need for the amended petroleum products pricing guidelines, particularly aspects related to the price floor. Head of Economic Regulations with the National Petroleum Authority, Abbas Ibrahim Tasunti, in a City Business News interview said the regulator ought to ensure fair competition and deal with challenges such as price undercutting by some OMCs. He indicated that the NPA will intensify efforts to ensure compliance and will not hesitate to crack the whip on OMCs which flout the directives in the amended petroleum products pricing guidelines.
So far, the window just started today and we are now monitoring. We've received the prices from the companies for this window. The price that we received from the companies already, we published the price floor on the 12th of April for them to know what the price floor for this window will be. So far, we haven't seen any company selling below the price floor yet, but it's very early days also in the enforcement of this regulation, so we'll continue to monitor and then check, see whether they are complying or not. The guidelines comes with sanctions, so there are sanctions that are penalties in terms of monetary penalties, and there could be other penalties we can impose. So for example, the first time the penalties that we have, we caution you, and if you still continue to do that as an OMC, or stations are still doing that, because the OMC is supposed to ensure that its stations are complying. So we see that your stations are still not compliant, then there is a monetary penalty. There could be other sanctions that NPA could apply, because if the station is consistently not complying with guidelines, as a regulator, we have every power to ensure that they are brought into line.
Meanwhile, some OMCs have begun increasing fuel prices in the second pricing window of April. State-owned Guel, for instance, is selling a liter of petrol at 14 cedis 99 pesos from the previous 14 cedis 15 pesos, while a liter of diesel is also selling at 14 cedis 80 pesos from the previous 14 cedis 74 pesos in the first pricing window of April. The development comes at a time when some drivers have begun increasing transport fares, while the government is urging the police to deal with such drivers.
City Business News is Daniel Sakite with that report. Now, capital market players have been advised to diversify their investment in a bid to shield them against risk. According to Country Chief Executive Officer of Leshego Ni Amankra Tete, the financial market is brimming with opportunities despite the current economic difficulties. Speaking to the media after Leshego, Ghana Savings and Loans PLC successfully listed its latest bond on the Ghana Stock Exchange to the value of 100 million. Ghana Cedis, Ni Amankra Tete said this is the first issuance under the brand's expanded 500 million Ghana Cedis medium-term note program, demonstrating the company's commitment to supporting the growth of local capital markets while diversifying its fund base by accessing local capital and investors.
What this means for us is that we can get funding that makes a little bit more sense, which we can put into our business operations and allow us to also lend at more reasonable rates than we would have at the current rates that are in the market. So programs like this definitely help us bring our interest rates closer to what is reasonable, and that's fantastic for us. So programs like this are really important for the financial services space, especially in the savings and loans markets. So much of our lending is in the individual space. We've had quite a number of initiatives, and we're looking at these initiatives to help us understand where the need is strongest. And so with funding like this, we can then look at that space where the risk is a little higher. Started out with 100 million in 2015. It grew to about 300 million, and it's now at about 500 million.
That was country manager of Leshego Ghana Limited, Ni Amankra Tete there. Now, on the interbank foreign exchange market, where banks trade amongst themselves, the dollar is selling at 13 cedis after gaining 1 peso. The British pound lost 4 pesos, selling at 16 cedis 17 pesos. The euro is selling at 13 cedis 81 pesos. It lost 3 pesos. However, some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling at 13 cedis 40 pesos, while the British pound could be sold to you at 16 cedis 60 pesos. That of the euro going for 14 cedis 30 pesos. And that's it for the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN Goal Access Bank. My name is Neil Atilati. Do have a good business day.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
40 minutes past 7. You are listening to the City Breakfast Show. City Business News with Neil Latte. Latte was sponsored by Access Bank. Whether you're a businessman, a trader, a parent, or sending money abroad has become a headache, you can now use the PAPS to do this without stress. Benefit from instant payment across Nigeria, Liberia, Gambia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone with zero foreign exchange hassle. Go to ghana.accessbankplc.com or call toll-free 0800-004-400. For all your cross-border payments, visit any of our branches and PAPS it with Access Bank. Access Bank, more than banking. Angol PLC, your CIMG Hall of Famer and Petroleum Company of the Year, has taken the lead again. We've opened ultra-modern LPG auto gas service stations. This is in Accra, in Kumasi, in Takoradi, and Cape Coast. Look out for that auto gas service station to get the safest and most affordable gas at your convenience. Goyle, good energy. And no need to carry multiple SIM cards around. You can go SIMless with MTN's eSIM. Enjoy the convenience of connecting multiple phone numbers to one single phone or device. Now, how do you know if your device is compatible? Simply dial *#06#. Once you receive an EID number, it means your phone or device is compatible. MTN, everywhere you go. Kickoff is next. Oh, what a night of Champions League football. My goodness. I don't even know which was... I mean...
Which one did you watch?
Both. So this is what we're doing. We were watching PSG, Barcelona.
Barca, okay. At the same time.
And then the red card came. And then we got a notice that there's been a goal.
At Signal Iduna.
2-0. We turned to Dortmund. Then we turned.
I didn't see that result coming on the part of Dortmund. Because I think that, given their history in the Champions League.
Charlie?
Yeah, but.
Don't downplay a good team with the great supporters. Wonderful
the
match.
The yellow wall, that's what they call it.
It was a beautiful game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the red card marred the Barca game.
Yeah, it got to them. I mean, Xavi has spoken about that the players did not react well after Ronald Araujo went down.
Well, it's part of the game. Kickoff is brought to us by Lechejo. The Lechejo Fixed Deposit Solution is your best solution if you want to power up your finances and unlock your path to prosperity. With Lechejo's Fixed Deposit Solution, you are not just investing, you are making your money work harder for you. Don't settle for average return. Join the investment revolution with our Fixed Deposit Solution and take charge of your financial future. Call 027-004-0799 or send us a WhatsApp on 027-004-0733. Lechejo, let's improve life. Segment is also brought to you by Shell. Our fuels with Dynaflex Tech are most advanced, designed to prevent deposit buildup and keep your engine clean and protected. They're also designed to help save fuel and get extra kilometers from each tank so you can do more in your day. Drive into a Shell station today and fuel up your car with Shell fuels designed for engine efficiency and performance. Go well. Gabby Ofer is already here. He's already talking.
All right. It's Wednesday, April 17, and many thanks for joining me for the very latest in the world of sports on 97.3 CTFM. Coming up at Paris Saint-Germain, through to the semis of the UEFA Champions League, the French giant stand Barca in front of their home fans. Elsewhere, at a Signal Iduna Park, a 4-2 win on a topsy-turvy night means Borussia Dortmund have progressed to the semi-finals for the first time since they were runners-up under former manager Jürgen Klopp in 2013. There's more from the UEFA Champions League Plus build up to today's matches, and then we've got the latest from the camp of Kumasi Asante Kotoko. I love that plus unboxing coming up right here on Kickoff. My name is Gabby Ofer. Right, and so there's one place to start from Europe's elite competition, the UEFA Champions League. And at the quarterfinal stage in Spain, Kylian Mbappe scored twice as Paris Saint-Germain trounced Barca to turn around the first leg deficit and reach the semi-finals of the Champions League. PSG had trailed 3-2 after the first leg in France, but reached the last four for the first time since 2021 after a chaotic encounter in Spain. Luis Enrique's side will face Borussia Dortmund in the semi-final after they beat Atletico 5-4 on aggregate in a thrilling encounter in Germany. We hear from Barca's Ilkay Gundogan after the loss to PSG.
Commiserations. Can you sum up your emotions for us just now?
Very frustrated. Very disappointed. It really felt like that we had full control of the game. Started with a one-goal lead, you know, and of course PSG, they have quality, you know, we know that, but could have not been better our position after, I don't know, 10-15 minutes. And then it just felt like that we destroyed ourselves.
That's the thing, you've showed resilience in recent weeks, haven't you? But today, the sending off, do you feel it really did have an impact? It was the turning point.
Yeah. This is Champions League. I think no matter who the opponent is, in such a tie, in such a crucial game, especially after, I don't know, 20, I don't know which minute it was, but going one man down so early, it's impossible.
All right, so that's a very distraught Ilkay Gundogan after the loss to PSG. At a Signal Iduna Park, Borussia Dortmund reached their first Champions League semi-final in 11 years by producing a superb second-half comeback to beat Atletico 5-4 on aggregate. It's the fourth time the German club have advanced beyond the quarterfinals. We hear from Dortmund's goal scorer, Ian Madsen.
Yeah, I think a dream come true for me as a kid. I also scored my first goal in the Champions League and also in the BVB Stadium. So I'm so happy and grateful that for this opportunity, you know, and just very happy.
I can't imagine, even in your best dream last night, all of this happened.
Yeah, now the dream come true and I've done it, you know, and just give me such a boost, you know, and today the stadium, you know, you could feel the energy on the pitch. So, like, I'm very proud to be here and standing on this stage, you know, so I'm very grateful and happy.
All right, so that's Dortmund's Ian Madsen, who's one of the goal scorers for Borussia Dortmund last night against Atletico Madrid. There's more to look forward to in the UEFA Champions League. Now, having suffered back-to-back 5-1 humiliations at the Allianz Arena, Arsenal will be aiming to put previous struggles behind them on their visit to Bayern Munich later tonight for the second leg. Bayern are looking to qualify for the Champions League semi-final for the 13th time, while Arsenal have managed to do so just twice. Here is Arsenal's Leandro Trossard.
I think everyone is ready. The reaction, it's a big opportunity for us. It's on the biggest stage, so everyone wants to show what we're capable of. And there's no better way to do it.
All right, so that's Arsenal's Leandro Trossard. Now let's get to the camp of Bayern Munich. And here's their boss, Thomas Tuchel.
I rewatched some pictures and some scenes off the match against Arsenal. Then we'll do the same today. We'll have our final meeting tomorrow. But it's a special match and asks a special energy, special tension. And at the end, we try to throw everything in there, also with the right talk to the person to get the best out of the team.
All right, so that's our Bayern boss, Thomas Tuchel, speaking through an interpreter. At Etihad, Manchester City will host Madrid at the same time. And Bernardo Silva had this to say on facing the Spanish Giants again this season.
Well, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch the game back. So I only have the feeling of what we did on the pitch on that day. Two different seasons. It never happens. The same game in football, it never happens again. So I feel Madrid is stronger this season than they were last season. That was my feeling when we played them at the Bernabeu. And for sure they'll want a bit of revenge for that result as well. So it's going to definitely be a very different game.
So that's Manchester City's Bernardo Silva speaking ahead of tonight's tie against Madrid in the UEFA Champions League. Well, here in Ghana, some angry fans of Kumasi Asante caught a bad head coach Prosper Nathi Ogumu and his squad from assessing the club's training field, escalating tensions within the club. The supporters are frustrated by a string of disappointing results in the Ghana Premier League. 7 defeats in 9 matches, and Ogum with Kotoko now 11th on the league lock. In boxing, communications director for the Ghana Boxing Authority, Mohamed Amin Lamte, has assured stakeholders that the GBA will handle matters related to the controversial technical draw decision on the Basti Samir Rashidi Dowu fight. And the fight took place this past weekend at the Kalkudi, and had a Ghanaian boxer Basti get knocked out in the second round by the bout put together for the vacant UBO African Lightweight Heavyweight belt.
The judges or the scorekeeper manipulated the results. But this Samir and Rashid fight was very clear that Basti went down the canvas. He was knocked out. He went even off for about 30 minutes before he was revived. He has automatically lost the fight. So how could that fight turn to become a technical draw? It's illogical. So Ghana Boxing Authority is not in the center of the fight. Ghana Boxing Authority is not the ring announcer. Ghana Boxing Authority is not the scorekeeper. Ghana Boxing Authority is not a supervisor. Neither Ghana Boxing Authority is the promoter or the matchmaker. So these are the people that the GBA is planning to invite for them to come and answer one or two questions. How did the ring announcer come by that decision? That is what we all need to be looking at.
All right, so that's our communications director of the Ghana Boxing Authority, Mohamed Amin Lamte, speaking there. Wrap up with some smashing, and Rafael Nadal enjoyed the winning start at the Barcelona Open as he returned from another long-term injury in what could be his final year before retirement. Now the Spanish 22-time major champion won 6-2, 6-3 against inexperienced Italian Flavio Cobolli in their first round match. And that's a wrap for more sports stories. You can head to citysportsonline.com and on next at City Sports GH. We'll be back later at 5 p.m. We call it Sports Flash Show. And the show, our proud partners. My name is Gabby Ofer. Enjoy the rest of your day. Do take care of yourself. And bye-bye.
Take different journeys. The strong ones build big cities that people thrive in. The agile ones take us to work there so we can make a little chop chop. The dependable ones are always present in times of trouble. We salute what you do for Mother Ghana. The traditional ones keep society running. And then there are the flashy ones that keep our roads interesting. Oga, we salute you.
No matter your vehicle, every car loves Shell fuels because our most advanced fuels with Dynaflex technology are designed to prevent deposit buildup and keep your engine clean and protected. Fill up and give your car the love it needs for better journeys. Go well.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
Nancy Die, Miko Hospital, I mean, Sia Kabiomu. All my medical needs are sorted by me Bonowa Brutrino. Ah! Eye Glycosunqua Health Plan. You can sign up any of your loved ones. Messi Wunya Woba Wofa Wishweba.
Save your family abroad the stress of worrying about your medical needs with Glycosunqua Health Plan. Visit sunqua.glycohealth.com to sign up today.
Glycosunqua, Ebusia Pomodinti.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we are committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need.
like 1.3 kg Sadia whole frozen chicken, only 59 CDs, 99 pesos. And 1 liter Coca-Cola, Fanta and Sprite, just 12 CDs, 99 pesos each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Prices valid until 21st April, only at ShopRite.
Guys, Charlie, you know that mining contract I've been chasing for years? I just got awarded a deal. But the issue is where to get the right and quality heavy-duty trucks to execute this job here in Ghana.
Relax, my guy. Remember my recent construction deal at Pokwase? Zonda sorted me out.
Zonda? What? Who is that?
Zonda Tech Ghana Limited is your one-stop shop for machinery, heavy and light-duty trucks, and pickups. They have the Shantui bulldozers, graders, payloaders, rollers, Pua pickups, four land light trucks, TX trucks, and oil tanks. Made and assembled right here in Ghana with top-notch after-sale service and standard prices.
Ah, made in Ghana. This is amazing.
You haven't seen my Zonda Pua pickup, which I take to the office? Strong, durable, and tough on our roads.
Hey, that's from Zonda too?
Absolutely. Zonda is the right place for you, my guy.
Oh, now I am sorted with Zonda.
Zonda Tech Ghana Limited. Your solution for heavy and light-duty trucks. Located at Tema, off the Aflao Road. Call 0501-772-222 or 0501-773-333. Zonda, built in Ghana, building Ghana.
Cadbury Rich Choco is now available in a new pack. You would love the fresh new look. It's a vibe. Cadbury Rich Choco supports the energy to keep you going. Kickstart your day the Ghanaian way, wherever the day will take you, with a cup of delicious, creamy, smooth Rich Choco. Cadbury Rich Choco. Rich taste, rich identity. This advert is FDA approved.
Looking for a home in a safe, secure, and luxurious environment? Alphabet City has just what you need. Join our gated community in the lively precincts of Sacramento for a carefully crafted home that provides you with peace of mind and a safe space for your children. Alphabet City boasts of leisure and recreational facilities to ensure your mental and physical well-being, a good road network, 24-hour surveillance systems and security, water and electricity, serving as a safe haven. Let's meet your needs. Book a tour today. Find out more on www.waylee.org or call 0240-111-119 or 0504-499-999 to make the right investment in a home. Alphabet City, the ABC of home sweet home.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS. This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Unleashing the power of Breakfast Radio. This is City
calendar. Go to August 3rd, first worst day. We get our first words, first argument. Gotta let it go, cause it can possibly affect what our future. Flipping pages, now I'm famous. Thinking back, I ain't seen you in ages. Wishing that I could have made it less painless. Brings me back, right back to the same mess. I know that it was my fault. I know that I got caught. So please don't lose your thoughts. Me loving you and you loving me. I'm on a highway swerving. I ain't drunk but I'm about to hit the curb. Looking at the calendar, getting nervous. Just a few more days till the first. So this the day it all began.
7:35, 17th of April 2025. Happy birthday to Samira Karen Tara, Financial Advisory Department, and Diana Villier, Audit and Assurance Department at Deloitte, from country partner Daniel Kojo Owusu. Wish my wife, Mrs. Abigail Ejepoma Bani of Pantan Hospital, Ward 7. Happy belated birthday. She's also my birthday. Today is also my birthday, William Bani, of the same place, Sai Osudoku District Hospital, Dodowa. Hey, your message is confusing. Something about 16th and 17th April. Sky, do you understand the message? I don't understand.
So he's saying that the wife's birthday was the 16th of April.
Uh-huh.
And his is today, the 17th of April. That's what he's saying.
Okay, very good. Wishing also... Okay, this is from Joseph of GMPC. Wishing his wife, Mariam Boating of the NHIA, a happy birthday from the boys and their sister. We wish her all the best in life. May the good Lord continue to direct her path and grant her wishes. Have you noticed these days there are a lot of these joint government worker couples?
Yes, that's right. I mean,
GMPC, NHIA.
Some are for strategic.
There's a very request. There are plenty like that too. One is working at Bank of Ghana, maybe so. One is working at Ministry of Finance.
Somebody the MPA, the other one the Ministry of Energy.
Hey!
They arrange themselves. Hey, but this one also is from Joseph. I don't know whether you've done Mr.
That's
Joseph.
What, that's what
Asenso.
I just did. Okay. No, Joseph Asenso.
Yes, this one is from Joseph Asenso.
No, I haven't done it.
It says, today is the birthday of my love. My life, my blessing. Happy birthday to the most handsome, caring, and extraordinary husband, Mr. Joseph Asenso Chum.
Mm-hmm.
Your love is the greatest gift, and I'm grateful for every moment we share. Thank you for being the amazing husband that you are. Love you endlessly. It's coming in from Pearl, Peggy, Banye, Yeboah, and your boy, Joe Christ, Jamina Asenso Chum.
And happy birthday coming in to Leslie Adiko, you work in Parliament. Mm-hmm. This is coming in from your main man,
powerful
Leslie Oku, who is the head of our year group, and also from myself, Leslie Adiko, the New Hope School. Yes. All right, now there's so many things I want to talk about today. I don't even know which one to start with. You know, I got a very long message from one of my friends. And he was not happy with the filth in Accra. It's a very long message. I'm going to read it. I think it's important to discuss that issue. But before I do this, I want to just do a few more requests.
February, March, April, May, June.
A happy birthday to Cyril Mauli King, the esteemed Chief Operating Officer of Gridco Accra area and Duke of Keta. From the entire Accra operating area team of Gridco, we extend our warm wishes for a year bringing with happiness, success, and fulfillment.
This
is a message that confuses
me. The Duke of Edinburgh.
Let me read it again. A heartfelt birthday dedication to Cyril Mauli King, the esteemed Chief Operating Engineer of Gridco Accra area, and Duke of Keta.
Duke of Keta.
Well. So I don't know whether he's a Duke, or that's his nickname, or that's the position he's been given by the... I don't know, but
the
basically,
Duke of Keta.
That's what they've put there.
I see.
And from the entire Accra operating area team of Gridco, we extend our warm wishes for a year bringing happiness, success, and fulfillment.
King, you're a big man. The message is Jolali.
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 Yes, so you know, these are the people who work Agrico quietly. They are ECG. They write a letter. They are the people who are choking. Choking ECG. But ECG is going through so many problems.
Yep.
The story is troubling.
Yeah, but
the story from Kumasi, what's he saying?
Exactly. So the story is carried by the Informer newspaper and has to do with the alleged arrest and detention and subsequent release of Michael Nyantechi, who happens to be Mark Asumeni Wiafe, who is the Asante Region ECG manager. Okay. According to the story in the Informer newspaper, apparently there came from Accra a team of people who are ensuring revenue assurance for ECG.
Yes, they are collecting revenue.
They are collecting revenue. So they came in there to retrieve all IRIA's old ECG.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the institutions, according to the report, they targeted was the Kumasi Technical University, which is said to be owing the ECG some 1.2 million Ghana cedis in terms of power is supplied to it and which power was not paid for. And so the team disconnected, according to the story, the school from the national grid. And for some reason, the regional minister was not happy about the disconnection. So, according to the story, he gave a directive that the power should be restored to the school. And that directive went to Mr. Mark Asumeni Wiafe, who is the regional manager in the Ashanti region for ECG. Now, according to the story, Mr. Mark Asumeni Wiafe explained to the regional minister that he was not the person in charge of the disconnection exercise because the team had come in from Accra, and that the only way he was going to intervene to cause power to be restored was when a directive came in from the energy ministry or, you know, some authority from above or the managing director of ECG. And so he refused to carry out the minister's instructions. Upon that, refusal, the minister reportedly caused the police to arrest the regional manager of ECG for failing to carry out his instructions.
Why does the ECG take instructions from the minister of Ashanti region?
Bernard, that is exactly where my concerns are. And before we go into, you know, our own views on the matter, we're told that Poo has issued a statement on this particular matter.
This is the Public ECG Workers Union.
And I think it would be useful to bring that statement briefly to the attention of listeners before we proceed to...
This is big money, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Because what we are told...
To arrest an ECG director for cutting power to an institution that owes it. And then to boldly say, I directed the police to arrest the guy. That's so wrong.
So, Poole issued a statement yesterday on the subject matter, condemning what had happened and demanding that something be done about how the minister, carried out his what do you call it? Yeah, I'm actually looking for it.
It was sent yesterday.
Yeah, but
even on the, I think it was around 4 p.m. that I saw this office. Is it 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
So I will retrieve it for you shortly.
That's right.
In the meantime, send us your comments, 054-998-6996. Caleb, if you look on the news platform, I think somebody put that, Sander posted this report yesterday.
In the meantime, I can give you excerpts as captured in the Informer newspaper while you look for the full length of the statement issued yesterday. So somewhere in the story, they say that it is most unfortunate for political authority, a whole regional minister, to take such an action against a public servant who is doing his legitimate job, and even in a situation where he is not the one who had even caused the power to be disconnected. Continue from the floor.
So Michael Edumata is writing, he's the general secretary for POO, and the statement says the attention of the Public Utilities Workers Union POO has been drawn to a recent incident which, if not handled with care, will fester and cause significant challenges for workers of the ECG who are members of the union. On Wednesday, 10th April 2024, a revenue tax force established by the Ghana Board and Management of ECG with the support from the Minister of Energy went on an operation in the Ashanti region and disconnected power supply to the Kumasi Technical University for owing over 600,000 Ghana cedis of electricity consumed. Now, prior to this disconnection, The university had been served a demand notice reminding them of their indebtedness to ECG and the consequences of not negotiating for payment. Led by the Vice Chancellor, Professor Dumont, the university engaged Engineer Michael Riafi, the General Manager for Ashanti East, for a payment term since they could not afford the 75% upfront payment before reconnection. The General Manager, Engineer Riafi, informed the university that the National Task Force must be brought into the picture since it is handling the issue. On Thursday, 11th April, at about 9 p.m., the regional minister for Ashanti Region, Honorable Simon Osei-Mensah, called Engineer Michael Riafi, threatening him to reconnect power supply to the university. Engineer Riafi stated that he did not have that authority since the disconnection was done by a team from the head office and that he is engaging with the parties for a solution. Despite this explanation by Engineer Riafi, Honorable Osei-Mensah told Engineer Riafi that he shall report him to the police for refusing to reconnect power to the university.
For which offense?
Shortly after disobeying the minister. Shortly after he ended the call, the police at Zongo Police Station called Engineer Riafi and demanded him to report to the station.
Look at them too.
Engineer Riafi pleaded with the police to make his visit the following morning since it was late. On Friday, 12th April, Engineer Riafi visited the Zongo Police Station with Engineer Peter Fletcher, the general manager in charge of ECG's sub-transmission network in Ashanti region. Upon their arrival, Engineer Riafi was informed that the police is investigating a charge against him for causing public unrest due to the disconnection. He was asked to write his statement, which he did, and after was granted a self-recognition bail by the police. Technically,
recognizance.
Well, that's what they've written in the statement.
Yeah, that's why.
So self-recognizance.
Yes, okay. Right. Technically, Engineer Riafi is under investigation by the Ghana Police Service for the lawful disconnection by the National Task Force of a university, which happens to be situated within his operational jurisdiction, and the complainant is the regional minister. This is unacceptable and a clear case of abuse of power. The union strongly condemns this action by the regional minister and finds this particular incident very unfortunate and an affront to the right of the ECG staff and members of the union. These actions by some politicians are becoming too rampant and the union is sending a strong warning against it. It is important to state that ECG has been given the mandate to distribute power and collect revenue. And since it still operates a credit system, staff of ECG and members of the union shall continue to send demand notices and disconnect customers who refuse to pay for electricity consumed as per the rules of engagement stipulated by the PRC. The National Union is strongly against the tendency of persons who wield political power using it to oppress or harass public servants who are carrying out their official duties. We wish to use this opportunity to admonish all political office holders to use tact and decorum in dealing with public servants who are carrying out their legitimate official duty. Signed, Michael Edumata Nyantechi, General Secretary, Public Utility Workers Union of TUC Ghana.
So what are the issues in this, in terms of the way it's done? Because look, ECG has been disconnecting people. We know they do announce, pay your bills, right? And this is open. In fact, they even do it to the police sometimes. Mm-hmm. Okay. They even do it to the police sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's surprising that the minister would direct the ECG man to reconnect power. Mm-hmm. What power does he have to do that? Is he the energy minister? Mm-hmm. And if he directs him and he's unable to connect the man, what offense has he committed to be arrested? Let's speak to Michael Edumata Nyantechi, General Secretary of PUU, for more on this. Mr. Nyantechi, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So since yesterday, do we know what has changed in relation to the engineer who was arrested by the police? And has the matter had any new developments after the statement you issued?
Well, fortunately, Friday, when he was made to write his statement and at the police station, he was granted bail. And since then, later the technical university also made some arrangements to pay part of the outstanding indebtedness. and then the rest has been scheduled on a payment plan. So for now, that is the situation as it is. So the police did indicate that if they need him, they will call him. But so far, we haven't received any information that the police have called him again.
But do you know if he's been officially charged by the police?
Well, when not charged, but the police said they were investigating a case of that is causing public unrest. And it was based on that he was made to write a statement. And then because he was granted bail, it means that technically he was under arrest. Because if you are not under arrest, you will not be granted bail, even though it was self-recognizance. But we felt that it was not proper because this is somebody doing his official work and he has not done anything untoward that should culminate into this kind of situation. And we find it so objectionable.
So your statement truly and correctly criticizes the minister for his conduct because it's clearly abuse of power. But don't you think the police themselves, they acted wrongly? Because if somebody is accused of causing public unrest, at least you need some evidence, right? And you should talk to the man. And the person is an ECG official doing his job. So don't you think the police themselves were becoming, they are more like the appliant in the hands of a politician? And by your statement, they didn't say much about them.
I agree with you on that score, but frankly, we didn't want to extend this matter to that angle. That's why the concluding paragraph, we put it out there that people who are wielding all sorts of authority or power should know that they should exercise it not to oppress and harass public servants who are doing their legitimate business. I strongly agree with you that if the police were being very professional, they should have read in between the lines and saw that the complaint the minister brought was not anything that they had to follow up. And the sad part was it that even when this complaint was sent to them, they called the general manager in the night asking him to come to the station. And he said that in the night he cannot come to the station over this matter.
Now, it was KTU the only university or the only institution disconnected. Do you know anything else about the operation that even got the minister angry in the first place? Was KTU, and number two, does ECG need to inform a minister for a region before they do their disconnection?
No, so far, I don't have all the details of the operation of the task force. This was not even activity carried out by the regional management of ECG. This was a national task force from Accra that went to do operation in Kumasi. And when they disconnected, it was later that because it was not under the purview of the regional general management, so he had no control. So when the minister asked that they should reconnect, he explained to him that it's only the national level or the head office that can make that intervention. So, but the minister did not agree and then started exercising his authority or power in whatever ways, threatening the regional general manager.
Have you made an official complaint about the minister's conduct to your minister? Because obviously, the ECG works under the Ministry of Energy, and the ECG's disconnections are well announced and advertised. In fact, ECG announced a few months ago it was doing revenue collection. We all know this. So did you copy this letter to your minister? Has he said anything about this?
No, we haven't taken that step yet. This was first, we wanted to put this out there. And then, because even though this had been the immediate incident, there have been other instances where some political authorities have been virtually harassing ECG workers over such activities. But we felt that this one had virtually gone overboard. That was why we needed to issue this statement. We are still deliberating among ourselves about other things that we need. So if we come to a conclusion that we should make a formal complaint to the minister and maybe copy the seat of government, maybe these are other options we are still discussing. We haven't taken any decisions.
Yeah, thank you. Finally, but how is the engineer doing this morning? Engineer, is he Wiafe?
Yeah,
how is he doing? Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine. The incident happened on Friday. So it was Friday that he was he went to the police station. Then after some time, he made his statement, and then he was granted self-recognizance bill. And so even Friday, he came back to the office. So he's fine.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Michael Duma Tanyante, General Secretary, Public Utility Workers Union. Time check, 7:54. Story background, you just heard the Asante Regional Engineer for ECG arrested by the police for disconnecting power to the Kumasi Technical University. I mean, I even thought Parliament was disconnected at some point. Yeah. And rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, you know, in Ghana we are not serious. Because we want people to work. When people are working to them, we turn around and use our official means to block the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people should take a stronger position.
Mm-hmm.
That this is completely unacceptable. The minister must apologize.
Mm-hmm.
The police must apologize.
Mm-hmm.
The ECG itself can take a stronger position.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody who's a public servant, mm-hmm, doing his job,
mm-hmm,
and then you get the police to arrest him on a flimsy charge because a minister is angry that KTU has been put off. Like, how do we even understand the work of power utilities? If the utility system collapses, what can you do? Okay, what if ECG said don't have power?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if ECG said, okay, we don't have power, what will you do? Can you arrest, bring the power back? You know, these are completely diversionary, unnecessary things that we do because we don't even understand what it means to be in power.
Mm-hmm.
I really am upset about this.
Yeah.
You know, to call somebody in the night, arrest him, and say it's caused public disaffection. Or public what?
Unrest. Well, I don't even know the proper charge because I'm looking at the criminal code and I'm yet to see that particular charge.
Is it public unrest?
Yes. Well, that's according to the school statement. The police have got to issue a statement on this matter.
The police have been wrong on this.
And I expect that the IGP will take up this matter so that we get to the bottom of it. Regional minister, to the best of my understanding of the laws of this country, has absolutely no authority to arrest a public officer or a civil servant for doing his job. According to the story, and if the facts are to be believed, a team was sent from Accra as part of what they are doing nationally,
mm-hmm,
to ensure that people, institutions that owe ECG money, they collect the money from them.
That's all.
And they carry out disconnection. If you look at the legislation setting up ECG,
mm-hmm,
and related, you know, pieces of legislation, they have the authority to take out your power where they believe that, for instance, you have not been able to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are ways to negotiate. And in connection with the Accra situation,
mm-hmm,
I said that there were some other extenuating circumstances they ought to have looked at,
mm-hmm,
to save the people of Accra. Some
mm-hmm,
that's right. So in that case, I said that they ought to have done something else. But in this particular case, if they went there to disconnect power because for some reason the school was not paying its bills,
mm-hmm,
I don't think that, if the facts are to be believed, it was proper for a regional minister, mm-hmm, a former member of parliament, a former member of the ECOWAS parliament, to do what we are told he did. If you had any concerns about how the officers conducted themselves, the first thing to do as a minister is to bring the matter to the attention of the supervising minister that, oh, we have this particular situation in the Ashanti region. Your men came here to disconnect electricity because of A, B, C, and D.
Mm.
Is there a way at the ministerial level we can negotiate and deal with this particular matter,
yeah,
so that you could talk to the appropriate agency involved so that we resolve this matter? Your first port of call was not to cause the police to arrest the gentleman because he had carried out instructions from Accra. In any event, he had told you that he wasn't involved and that the team...
No, because he told him to reconnect and he said he cannot do that without talking to his minister and the boss.
The minister had absolutely no authority to do that.
So basically what the minister is trying to say is that whatever ECG is doing, he, by executive fiat, can direct that they stop the disconnection.
I said
he will pay the bills.
It was an unlawful instruction if he indeed gave that instruction.
Yeah.
And the gentleman was entitled to refuse that order.
100%.
So what the minister did, you see, for some reason, when people go into public office, sometimes they assume that they are above the law. The regional minister for the Ashanti region is not above the law.
And the police should not allow themselves to be pliant in the hands of errant politicians.
Yeah, I'll come there.
They shouldn't allow themselves.
I'll come there. You know, in the past, we saw how regional ministers in some cases arrest taxi drivers and took them to their residency.
Yeah.
In some cases, we were told that cars were overturned and all of that. In this country.
How does this happen?
If the president is listening to us, and I know he does every now and then, I think he has got to call the regional minister to order. Because, look, all of these things are showing signs of a government that is unable to rein in errant ministers and public officers.
And I need to make another point. You know, when public officers are doing their job, you remember I was talking about GRA last week and people were shouting about the port.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I have somebody working at the port who is saying, I will not clear goods if you haven't paid the right amount.
Yeah, that person is doing the right
thing. We should be grateful. We should be grateful that ECG is going around disconnecting people because they want our money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the same, but we get up and say, ECG is being mismanaged, the cash water format is not coming, ECG is inefficient community. Somebody has sent a team from Accra to disconnect and invest, and the investor acknowledges the owe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
You see, we interfere with public officials when they don't do when they do what they do. Then we turn around and criticize them for not doing their work.
Being inefficient.
It is completely unacceptable. And I think the Minister of Energy should take a very serious view of the matter.
Exactly.
Write to the minister, complain to him, write to the IGP to give an explanation for why his man was arrested. Yeah, because you are trying to raise revenue to keep the power sector floating. If ECG doesn't get money, all of us are doomed. And for a minister to think that he can, by executive fiat, tell the police to arrest anybody, is that why we put you there?
Bernard, the sort of signal this sends out there is very bad. You know, that regional minister is able to do, and here's how I'm seeing it. The ECG, Ashanti regional boss, is not even an ordinary everyday Ghanaian. This is one, professionally, he's an engineer. Hierarchically, in terms of what he does at the region, he's someone who is in the position of influence.
Yes.
So someone thinks that he's the Ashanti regional minister, he represents the president, and so he has power, he's above the law, and he's instructing him, and he has refused his authority, so he's going to get the police. Now he uses the force of the state to sort of repress him for not taking his word.
Yes.
And this is another state institution in the mix, which has not paid its bill to the tune of 600,000 Ghana cedis. And these are people who are representing institutions. So imagine where you have a situation where someone is in a position of power, say the person is a policeman, is a soldier, is a minister, or even a minister's PA. And you have an issue of a land somewhere in a neighborhood somewhere, you are gone.
Because definitely
you are an everyday market woman.
They won't mind you.
You understand. So it's important for this issue to be dealt with, and for the minister, a statement must be released. The minister must be put in his place. Otherwise, it sends a signal down there that if anyone is in a position of authority or influence, you can never be right with that person.
And the
person has the right to impudence.
The other point we also have to notice that, you see, when public servants are forced by politicians to do certain things, we should all be concerned. Professionalism is doing what the book says you should do, irrespective of who is in charge politically.
Exactly. Yep.
Imagine if you can call ECG and tell them when to put on the light, when to put on. Remember in the US, now what brought Governor Chris Christie down? He wanted to achieve a certain aim and he interfered with traffic flow for less than an hour. To create a certain situation. That was his end. Because a professional running a traffic light system does not take instructions from a political leader who may have a nefarious jail stand. So in societies that are serious, Chris Christie was seriously chastised for what he did. Do you understand me? So imagine if I can call, as if I'm a minister, and I can call Easy and say, Ashaman for come here to do one more light. Or you can vote want to do one more light, then your operations. Do you know what can happen?
Exactly.
We need to, and you may think we are over exaggerating this. If you don't have professionals running our state institutions who will do things by the book, sometimes to the peril of their jobs, politicians can do anything. They can do anything, which we as we have seen. So for me,
abuse.
We should not sit on the fence and say it's an ECG problem. Fine, we are not happy with ECG. They are not giving us a low setting timetable. We understand that. Their board has been fine. That's not an issue. But that doesn't mean you give a dog a bad name to hang it. ECG is doing a really good job. Without ECG, we will not be here. We all see what the engineer Mahama has been doing with trying to raise revenue for ECG. Task forces, collecting money, to the extent of even putting parliament off.
Yes. hospitals,
whole parliament, an arm of government, was put in darkness when they were doing serious business on the floor.
Because they have been paid.
Yes.
And if ECG goes down, we all go down.
Yes. And that day I saw, Deputy Clerk Jethro running to ECG.
Yes.
To go and explain that, we had made some of the payment, maybe it's not reflected.
Yeah.
So they were able to beautifully resolve the matter.
Imagine the speaker calling ECG, summoning ECG boss.
That they should arrest him.
To a committee and say, because you have 2,000 people.
It's not matter.
If we personalize this, we will never have a good country, because we must be grateful for public servants standing their ground and doing their work.
Regardless.
That's how a nation is built. And I think Asante Regional Minister needs to apologize for what he's done. Time check, 8:04. Tech and social media trends next. And it's proudly brought to us by FBN Bank.
FBN Bank says, first things first, the letter A always comes before the letter B, and the letter B always comes way before the letter N. At FBN Bank, our goal is to put you, our cherished customer, first. What if I told you that our financial services offer the gold standard of value and excellence? Our products and services have been designed just for you. So choose FBN Bank. Think FBN Bank, because we put you first.
And Nathan will take us to the trends for the morning. All right, Nathan, what's trending today?
Well, let's get on to the trends. And you can imagine, after last night's very exciting Champions League games, the sporting themes are very high on the trend. So names like Cancelo, names like Kubasi, Kylian Mbappe, Xabi Araujo, João Félix, Barcelona, and all of that trending. It was a very exciting set of Champions League. I did not think that set was going to be good, but it turned out to be
chaotic. Why did Barca collapse yesterday?
Well, the red card destroyed everything, and PSG took advantage and forced the issue, and now they've made a Champions League semi-final. The other game saw Dortmund beating Atletico. They're also in the Champions League final. So Dortmund and PSG will meet again. They were in the same group, and they are meeting again in the last four of the Champions League. Tonight, Arsenal are in Munich, and then Real Madrid travel to Manchester City. Well, in terms of other things that are trending, the name Tech Junction is trending. Now, why is Tech Junction trending? Yesterday, some pictures emerged, some mocked up images or edited images of trains at Tech Junction, a sea at Tech Junction. People,
your last friend is saying they will extend the sea to the
so people are talking about that. It started to emerge early in the day, and quickly people noticed that they were all mocked images. People are talking about that. Asante Kotoko, also in the trains yesterday, some very upset fans went to the training ground. They said they wouldn't allow the team to train. They had to be taken away and spoken to. Charlie, because of their problem. Big problem. Anyway, to some tech news, and AI is still in the mix. Microsoft, now they say they will invest $1.5 billion in Abu Dhabi's G42, which is an artificial intelligence group that has faced questions over its tie to China. Now, the companies will collaborate on AI and digital infrastructure in a move that sees Microsoft's AI empire expand into the Middle East for the first time. Now, G42, who are led by Peng Xiao, a Chinese businessman and former CEO of Pegasus, that's a cybersecurity firm, has reportedly faced questions over its link to Beijing. And U.S. officials last November were reported to have stated their concerns that G42 could be used to share American technology and data with the Chinese government. Be that as it may, Microsoft is collaborating with G42. And they want to expand their reach.
That was second show me that trends.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
I'm representing for all of humanity, for ordinary people, the working class,
the City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
I do them leader them with them tallest manifesto. Me no know them I like to. come see them there. Why I? Them dress up in a suit and tie. Whoa. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. Them dress up in a suit and tie. Yeah. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. Them dress up in a suit and tie. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. See them dress up in a suit and tie. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. They look very nice, dressed in their suit and tie, but they're not satisfied. The deals they make and the contracts they verify. Leave the street terrified. I wally bag on the land, them bag a cocaine. Yeah. Pack up in a suitcase, for go on the plane. All in the name of political assignment, no resentment. All when the people come here. Dress up in a suit and tie. Whoa. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. Them dress up in a suit and tie. Yeah. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. Them dress up in a suit and tie. Suit and tie. But me no see nothing a go on. See them dress up in a
14 minutes past 8 to the breakfast show. Please wish the Ashanti Regional Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Water Company, Ebenezer Nnapadi, a happy birthday. And to my uncle Eddie Yosin, I thank God for your life. I thank God for the life he's giving you. Good health and happiness. From Jimmy Ebo Grant, Sawmill Taddy. Wishing my mother, Selina Deborah Marceli, a happy birthday from Kweku Abing, Ekwe Anyami and Kwabno Sey. And happy birthday to Selina Kim Amematekpo. A happy birthday, grace and divine direction from the whole family, from Eben Hot. And also, Selina Ajele Lasse of Vine Christian School. Happy birthday to you. May the Lord guide and guide your journey through life from your dad, Victor, your mom, Patience, and your brother, Senanu and Selali. And to my mom, Mrs. Sandra Wusa William. Mommy, thank you for the endless sacrifices I say. May the good Lord continue to strengthen and favor you. From Sesinam Wusa William Klagon. Wishing my amazing husband and father, Michael Odro Frimpong of STC, a happy, blessed birthday. May God continue to bless him. From your wife, Ellen Frimpong, and the children, Chris and Michelle. But they're not. All right, let's get into some quick announcements.
There's one more I want to do, Bernard, if you would indulge me. Efo Delay and team, please help me extend belated happy birthday blessings to Reverend Thomas Tingan of Lifeway Community Baptist Church at East Legon. My message for him is simple. Reverend, age gracefully. It's coming in from Kelvin Lochu, Sugarcane Republic.
There are a few more coming. From Sankara to his twins, Jaden Oko Ankara and Janelle Akwele Ankara. They're 12 years old today. And wishing Nicholas Dehir Anderson of CBG, a.k.a. Captain Laws, a regional extraordinaire manager, great leader, down to earth. We appreciate him to the max. From CBG regional managers and all branch managers in his region, Accra Northwest Region. May God continue to bless you always, Nicholas Dehir Anderson. Wishing my wife, Mrs. Gifty Amoenichum of Ekropoen Kwapim, a glorious happy birthday. As you climb onto the fourth floor, may God continue to bless you. From Welbeck, Ivan, Alvin, Melvin, and Mirabel.
Brother John Jude Makafui Amago of SOS Herman Mena is 10 today. His parents and siblings are wishing him long life, good health, and prosperity. Happy birthday. This one also says to Atu Kwamina Amisa Arthur, cheers to brighter days ahead from Peter Hall and all your friends. Now imagine launching your career, starting your own business or embarking on advanced studies within 6 months of graduation at Ashesi University. That's nearly every graduate's reality. From Accra to Nairobi, London to New York, Ashesi graduates are noticed and they are leading successful careers. Regardless of what you choose to study, an Ashesi education gives you a strong foundation for life. Visit ashesi.edu.gh, ashesi.edu.gh to learn more about Ashesi Advantage. Remember, admission is ongoing.
Now the Zenith Fanafone promo is on. Sign up for a free Zenith MasterCard from now till the 30th of April at any Zenith Bank branch nationwide and enjoy up to two free deliveries each month when you use your Zenith card on Glovo from now till the 20th of October. Get your free Zenith MasterCard from the nearest branch and enjoy this amazing offer. Visit zenithbank.com.gh for more info. Zenith Bank, in your best interest.
Did you know that 259 stories stories are born every minute. Yes, 259 unique stories that matter, including yours. And every experience you have helps to shape your story into exciting adventure. Your story can shape the world, and it is powerful. Whether you're an individual, family, or business, no story is too big or too small. We are inspired by them all, and your story has just begun. We invite you to write yours with us. Your story matters. Absa Bank.
Now, if you're a young Ghanaian looking for stable, fulfilling employment, then look no further than the Ghana Growth Program, brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Ghana Grows will guide you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical, and vocational skills. Ejuma Okorum, embrace agric and ATVET careers with Ghana Grows. For more info, call 0308255775.
Continue to save extra 30,000 Ghana cedis when you purchase VW Tijuana All Space. Take advantage now. Drive Ghana, drive Volkswagen. Hurry while stock last. T's and C's apply. Contact VW Ghana now on 0257956688.
Now, Standard Water has over 25 years of experience in providing quality and refreshing water to quench your thirst. They are in 11 regions and they are expanding. Mm. So if you want quality water, drink Standard Water. Call them on 0202-055703 or 0547-334385. And this ad is FDA approved.
19 minutes past 8. We're on the City Breakfast Show. We have a number of things to talk about. Sanitation is one.
Yes.
But we want to continue with this Ashanti Regional Minister and the annoying arrest of the ECG regional manager. Here are some comments coming through from listeners.
Good morning, Bernard and team. Please ask Sky if it's possible for the minister to be charged with an amount of money as compensation for humiliating the ECG official. This is wisdom from Gumwa Akochi. Bernard and team, good morning.
Morning.
It's a sad country we're living, isn't it? A big man can simply ask the police to arrest you and you'll be duly arrested because you are powerless. You can even extend this to other essential services like judiciary. In most cases, you cannot take on a big man, however aggrieved you may be. I've seen firsthand occasions where big men have caused the arrest of ordinary people for very silly reasons like getting married. This big man suspected his worker had stolen his money because he has gotten money to marry. It's sad.
Hey, serious?
Yes, come ahead, worry.
Okay.
Atu Hagen says, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm so angry. Mm. I think the president should fire the minister and the man should sue the regional minister. I think ECG should hit the streets to demand his resignation. Such nonsense must stop.
Mm.
Very strong words coming in. People are angry. Bernard, didn't he know that the institution is owing to the tune of 600,000 Ghana cedis? If he is not aware, what's his role as an regional minister where such an institution in his jurisdiction owes so much? Tony from Tema Sender through. Good morning, Bernard and team. This Ashanti regional minister, he's notoriously arrogant and his boss doesn't seem to bring him to order. His utterances when the Ashanti women's school feeding providers went on strike was so distasteful as a public officer. You didn't add your name. Good morning, Bernard and team. Please, can the Ashanti regional minister be arrested for abuse of power? Isaac from Ayikuma is asking. Good morning, Bernard, the Lion team. I have a question. Why do state agencies owe so much to the ECG, from public hospitals to universities to even ministries? Who is supposed to pay their electricity bills, especially if they aren't a revenue-generating state agency? Debbie from Ogbojo is asking big questions. Hi, Bernard. Regarding the unlawful arrest of the Ashanti Regional ECG head, why has the management of ECG not released any statement to condemn the action? I'm surprised at their silence, especially when the man was following ECG orders. Mark sent that through. Good morning, Bernard and team. The regional minister's action regarding utility bills are not surprising. He himself doesn't pay utility bills. Okay, I'm not sure about this. JFK, I'm not sure about what you're saying. Good morning. Please, the union should head to court, not just issue a statement. Abuse of power and unlawful arrest. This is annoying. Frank from Dakoman. Good morning, Bernard. Abego.
Okay. All right, now let's move to something. Okay, let's read the final message, yes, and I'll move something else.
Abego, this regional minister's action is a red herring. He was asked to identify 10 projects his government did in the Ashanti region, and he couldn't. So he's just been populist. He's acted ultra-virus and should be called to order. kakistocracy. He's a kako.
Hey, it's okay. All right, now, I want to sort of do an Agama Lizard here briefly, because I want to talk about public sector workers, because you know that here on this program and in many discourses, we criticize them a lot.
Yeah,
it's a difficult work to do. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not doing well. Mm-hmm. Some of them have not contributed to our development. Sometimes politicians are unfairly criticized when public sector workers are the ones who are lazy. Mm-hmm. But when we see public sector workers try to do something, we need to stand up and speak for them. Because in this program, we've mentioned some institutions that we've seen over the past 6 years have done well. Yes. For example, DVLA. Mm-hmm. All is not well with DVLA, but we've seen under Ajima Mbuzia for the past 4.5 years, you can tell that there's something going on there that's good. Mm-hmm. I think SNIT as well. Mm-hmm. We've covered SNIT many, many times. I wanted to read highlights of the CEO's closing statement on what he said he has done. And I feel if what he's saying is not true, he can be challenged. Mm-hmm. How many public sector officers on their last day can make a statement and account like this for what they say they've done? Mm-hmm. All right. The institutions that we see are doing well are not that many. Okay. So he gave a long speech, and I'm not going to read all the speech, but this was 15th April, so 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And it's an Agama Lizard, because I think despite all ECGs, and I think ECG, for example, they are undoing their good work by this refusal to give us a load shedding timetable.
Exactly.
I think if you look at their behavior since they took, I think this new guy took over trying to raise revenue and all those things. If he had just stuck to doing his job and not get involved in these political shenanigans of doom saw schedule, he would have done a really good job.
Yep.
This whole, I won't give you a schedule, we don't have a doom saw going on, 630 transformers, is undermined completely his. And I think that this is what it is. A country must have professional public and civil servants who, despite change in political power, will do what is right. They will. You remember Professor Ade was talking about the government worker attitude that's affecting Ghanaians. It's Ghana. There's no way Ghana would do well if state agencies go through the state ownership report. Nathan has read that many times. Most of them make losses.
Yeah.
Yes, some of them are not supposed to make profit. But the mindset of the average public servant is like, well, it's not my business. Now, this type of thing that has happened to the regional engineer, Riafi, somewhat is what makes them do what they do. It's like, here, if you try and do anything. Look, I was doing some work with some people recently in the public service. Eventually, we did the work, okay? But from the first 2 days of the engagement, you could tell that when you tell them something that they should do, their first instinct is, I don't want to be wrong, I don't want to get into any trouble. So, are you sure this is what they want us to do? We can't do it. You cannot build a society when public servants feel they are gagged, or they feel they are emasculated, or they feel they are chained. They have to deploy the wisdom and the knowledge they have to drive economic development. And sometimes the way politicians behave worsens this. And I'm going to read the SNIT guy's handing over notes to strengthen my point. Good afternoon and welcome. As you know, this will be my last address to staff in the light of recent happenings, and I could not leave without meeting all of you and formally say goodbye. All right? And I want us to listen to this and ask ourselves how many public servants can openly stand before their staff as MD and say that, like Samuel said, I have not taken any man's ox, I have not taken anybody's money. If anybody can convict me of wrongdoing, come and speak out. Not many people can do that. All right, it says, I think it's only proper that I do that. I owe that to each and every one of you, but I cannot do that one by one. So I decided to enlist the help of technology to help me do this as efficiently as possible. In the last few days, among other things, I've taken the time to reflect on the last 7 years and the path we've traveled together. 7 years is a very long time to have the privilege of holding such a high office. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to His Excellency Nana Akufo-Addo, the President of the Republic. Naturally, I've wondered if there were things I could have done differently, some more plans and activities I could have rolled out or implemented, maybe. And yes, there are a few. But then I look back at the SNIT my deputies and I came to meet in 2017 and the SNIT we have now, and I'm amazed at how far we have come. To summarize, our image was so battered that we were being called thieves. We were embarrassed to wear our own corporate cloth, and some external stakeholders were calling for SNIT to be shut down. What surprised me, though, in all of this negativity was that And also, I had people also tell me that SNIT was a good place to work, but they were quick to add that they will not give their money to SNIT. The reasons they gave, I'm sure we all know: lack of transparency, inadequate pension, poor customer service, perceived corruption, among several other reasons. I have to confess, at the time, it did cross my mind that maybe I had bitten more than I could chew. But I remember that I told you that we were going to build an institution where people will voluntarily bring us their money. Fast forward to 2024, April. I look at the SNIT we have now, and I must say I'm a very happy man. Indeed, I'm quite proud, and you, my colleagues, should also be very proud of what we've achieved together. Today, we've managed to build a service-centered organization which can appreciate and meet the needs of stakeholders at their preferred touch points. We have rolled out additional service delivery touch points to improve customer service, such as pensioners' priority desk, DG Direct, WhatsApp line, enhanced web portal and social media platforms, growing our followership from a mere 7,000 in 2017 to, listen to this, 526,000 as of March 2024. Sky, followership on social media from 7,000 in 2017 to 526,000
wow.
in 2024 March.
Wow.
We've introduced and deployed a payment platform known as SNIT Pay to enhance contribution collection, mobile money wallet, USSD code, SNIT partner banks, direct debit card, and mobile money options via their web portal and SNIT branches. We've implemented the distribution of quarterly electronic statements of accounts to all members. We've successfully rolled out the SNIT and Ghana card merger. You remember this one? So now you don't need a SNIT card. Your Ghana card is your SNIT card. Over 2.3 million members, including active contributors, pensioners, and beneficiaries, have merged their numbers so far. The Ghana card is now the primary identification document for all SNIT transactions. This has eliminated the cost of printing biometric cards for new members, reduced impersonation and fraudulent activities in payment of claims to pensioners and beneficiaries. Our survey shows that the adoption of these business practices has improved customer satisfaction to 82.9% in 2022, as against 69.7% in 2017. Six, we have worked to sustain the scheme through expansion of coverage, enforcement of compliance, prudent investment of funds, and responsible governance of the trust. We have increased active membership from 1,315,499 in 2017 to 1,951,495 in 2023, indicating a growth of 48.34%. So 1.3 million to close to 2 million in 6 years. We've rolled out the self-employment enrollment drive, SEED, an initiative targeted at enrolling the self-improvement as part of efforts to expand coverage of the scheme. Since we started this drive, our active membership of self-employed persons on our scheme has more than quadrupled. Self-employed members, remember, that's one big problem. Informal sector people don't want to go on SNIT. They say since they started this drive last year, active members of self-employed persons has more than quadrupled. We have improved average processing time for pensions applications by 83%. The average processing improved from 47 days in 2016 to 8 days as of March 2024. We have made significant savings of 876.61 million CDs. 800 million through restructuring of some legacy investments. This is a very important point. Rationalizing of our ICT infrastructure and deactivation of some 19,100 ghosts pensioners from our pension payroll. Let me read this again. Significant savings of 876.61 million through restructuring of legacy investments, rationalization of ICT infrastructure, and deactivation of 19,100 ghost pensioners from the pension scheme. We've implemented new investment guidelines and asset allocation policy approved by the Board of Trustees to improve investment returns. Guy, one of the biggest problems of SNIT was investing in real estate that was not yielding anything. So there are new investment guidelines and asset allocation policy approved by the board. We've completed and monetized Government of Ghana affordable housing projects at Boteman in Accra and Asokori Mampong, Kumasi. Initiated the process of private sector participation in SNIT hotels to enhance their viability. Brought the International Social Security Association Liaison Office for West Africa from Cote d'Ivoire to Ghana. These measures have contributed to the long-term sustainability of the scheme and enhanced the feasibility of SNIT globally. 7. SNIT has now adopted state-of-the-art technology for the management and maintenance of accurate, complete, reliable bio and financial data on members. We have deployed in 2022 the Integrated Social Security Administration System, ISSAS, a comprehensive operations systems by our own MIS team. This has saved the trust over $2 million annually in support costs for its former operation software. The ISAS provides superior functionality, allows us to offer enhanced services to our members and clients. Best of all, because it's homemade, we can keep tweaking to suit our purposes and whatever operational charges may come in the future at minimal cost to the trust. We have worked hard to digitize our operations and service delivery by upgrading the existing SNIT website, portal and USSD platforms and develop a SNIT app, which is soon to be unveiled. We've implemented the seamless replication of systems between the primary and secondary data centers to provide possible data loss, to prevent possible data loss and enhance business continuity. We've enhanced productivity by deploying a biometric attendance system to monitor staff attendance for improved efficiency in the administration of the organization. The deployment of these systems have significantly improved operational efficiency and enhanced service delivery to our members and clients. 8. We have built and sustained stakeholder partnership and confidence in the trust by extensive engaging the government through the Controller and Accountant General to enhance contributions collection and also improve our symbiotic relationship with the MPRA. We have initiated collaboration with the Registrar General's Department, the GRA, the GEA, to connect their databases to get on board all active registered establishments, informal sector groups and associations. We've instituted an open door policy with the National Pensioners Association to discuss their concerns and to appreciate them for continued support of the SNIT scheme. We've initiated strategic engagement with known critics of the scheme to convert them into advocates. A number of these critics now have a better appreciation of the scheme and in some cases become advocates for the SNIT. Holding periodic engagement with leadership of organized labor and self-employed associations affiliated with the TUC nationwide. These meetings directly impacted over 4,700 regional and district leaders of TUC. Trained over 1,500 reps from various organizations on as focal persons to serve as seamless link between the trust and these organizations. Engaging media to improve public perception of the trust, recording average positive media coverage of 98.7 as of March this year. And then the other things they list. Then they go and talk about surveys conducted show that interactions have helped improve the corporate image of SNIT from 20% to 54%, etc., etc. My colleagues, I state some of these achievements not as an ode to myself. Instead, I state them to convey my heartfelt gratitude to the President, Nana Akufo-Addo, for the opportunity to serve his government and my country. He took a chance on me, even though he did not know me. And I'm glad together with you, I've been able to discharge the responsibilities to bring the honor to the government in my little but significant corner. And to each one of you, I thank you for your strength, your resilience, etc., etc., etc. Then he also thanks the Vice President, his brother, for supporting him, etc., etc., etc. Sky. How many... And by the way, he was pushed out.
Yep.
Yes.
He was yes. pushed out.
Because, Bernard, I was going to read to you the details of the letter that saw him going.
Read it.
For a man who was awarded the, who was named the 2022 Outstanding Public Service Personality, right? And with all the background that he shared with us.
So if this everything is how, he said here, and by the way, this is public.
Yeah.
So if what he's saying is not true, if the things I've read are not true, TUC, all those who are involved can come out and connect.
Yes.
The question is, for a man who claims to have done all of this, look at how he ended.
Bernard, so here's a letter. Reference is made to your appointment letter dated 1st July 2019, issued by the Public Services Commission. In accordance with paragraph 8 of the said appointment letter, I regret to inform you that the President has terminated your appointment effective 15th April 2024 with 3 months' salary in lieu of notice. You are directed to hand over your office to Mr. Kofi Bosompem Osafo Mafo and proceed to collect any terminal benefits you may be entitled to ensure a smooth transition. Kindly hand over and cease to act as the Director General of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust SNIT no later than close of business on Monday, 15th April 2024. So this letter, if you Google the name of the former SNIT boss now, you will see that he has been sacked.
You understand? It is later that the presidency now sent a letter to say he didn't have to leave on grounds of malfeasance or anything like that. So,
yeah, if you are, I wish you had that letter to read as well. And he, in his ending notes, he also thanked his board chairpersons, Dr. Kwame Adekunfo and Madam Elizabeth Ohini, for their support. What I'm saying is that how many public sector workers of his rank can boldly list what they've achieved when they took over till when they left? Publicly. Right? I think it's exemplary.
Yep.
I think it's exemplary. That's, and I think we need more public sector workers to do this. Because, Sky, the way things are going, if they even give you a public sector post, you say you won't take it. Because we've bastardized public sector work, and yet we expect public services to work. Ghana Water Company, Clifford Brimer. I mean, since I started doing this work, there's no day I send him a complaint from the public that he doesn't respond with a manager getting in touch with me after. Never. Even 2 days ago, somebody said there was a best pipe somewhere. In about 2 hours, they respond. They've done it. There are some public sector workers that are very good. And you see, if I think I'm disappointed the way this man was treated. Because you see, what you are doing is, Papa Nyeshi, Abonisu Nyeshi. If you can reward people who have this type of record with the way he was ingloriously exited, people will dance. People will say, well, Ed, I'm not going to do it. Or if I'm going to do it cynically, I'll do it for what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Has there been any corruption finding or anything against him? We don't know. If he's done something wrong, let the public know. Because you see, to get rid of a person like this and replace him with Osafo Mafu's son, you are creating a person that maybe he's not willing to play ball on some things you want to do. Indeed, Franklin Cudjoe wrote something. He said, and I know Emmanuel has criticized this a lot. He said, for them, they are happy that, or he as a person, that SNIT, the man has changed the investment guidelines of SNIT to move away from those fruitless and unprofitable
investment
in real estate, which historically have caused the scheme to bleed. Emmanuel has been one of the greatest critics of SNIT. And frankly, you could read it, he wrote it on a platform that he is disappointed the way Mr. Ofori-Tin Koran is being exited.
So, Bernard, this is the details of the letter, right? Eugene Ahe then comes on 13th April to release a statement to sort of make things better. So he says, contrary to some speculations in the media, the office of the president would like to place on record that the exit of Dr. John Ofori-Tin Koran from the position of Director General of SNIT had nothing to do with any form of misconduct or malfeasance on his part. Indeed, Dr. Ofori-Tin Koran's exit from office is part of the ongoing restructuring of government being undertaken by President Akufo-Addo.
To achieve
The president is satisfied with the performance of Dr. Ofori-Tin Koran as Director General of SNIT in the past 7 years, as the institution under his watch witnessed some impressive transformation. The president thanks him for his services to the nation. Signed, Eugene Ahin, Director of Communications of the
Office of the President. Let me read Franklin Cudjoe's post last week when this happened. It says, first, it was the GRA board and the commissioner that got axed crudely by an executive fiat. No reasons given. However, under the previous board, Ghana has for the first time attained 14% tax to GDP from 11 to 12% for many years, a critical milestone under Ghana's IMF program. So it's referring to Otin Jesse's tenure. And by the way, I think Otin Jesse resigned. All right, but it was announced initially that he had been asked to go. We saw the letter he had resigned. And we listened to Otin Jesse's lecture as well. Serious Ghanaian, okay? Yeah. He's gone. Now, SNIS DG, who has 9 months left of his tenure, has been sacked by the president with immediate effect. There are no reasons given for his terminating the DG. Then he says, the DG's foresight and a bit of luck prevented our pensions from the unforgiving jaws of the cantankerous debt restructuring program by holding minimal government paper. Because if the state had used our money to buy government paper, we would have been affected by debt exchange. The DG's leadership has been unrepentant in chasing government arrears and expanding coverage to the self-employed. The leadership has managed to divest state ownership in hotels to prevent hemorrhaging pension funds. Crucially, SNIT has been scaling down on real estate investment, which has never been profitable but beloved by politicians who control SNIT. The replacement in these two institutions, GRA and SNIT, are seen by many as very pliant political obedience. So the people have replaced. And this is dangerous. What exactly is the president's grand plan? consolidate his base or push through curious contracts in the last hour. These whimsical acts without explanation actually hurt the country, his government, his party, and Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. So this is Franklin Kujo's post. I think he posted this 10th April.
Mm-hmm.
So I am saying that the way this man has been removed doesn't speak well.
Untidy.
And I am impressed with the list of things he said he has done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't verify all of this from here, but these are public documents.
Mm-hmm.
This is published in the Herald today. You can read it.
Mm-hmm. It's on City Newsroom too.
How mm-hmm. many public officers who are leaving? So, for example, head of Ghana Water, head of ECG, head of SNIT, head of SIC,
mm-hmm.
head of Ghana Gas,
mm-hmm.
head of GMPC,
mm-hmm.
can issue a statement to their staff and list their achievements. It's not... It's, so, look, a country that doesn't have a properly functioning public service has no future.
Yep.
So, if people are working for the government and they are doing the right thing, we need to encourage them. If they are doing the wrong thing, we need to expose them. We must be able to discern the difference between people who are there for their own personal gain mm-hmm. and people who are there to serve their country. Serving your country is difficult. Even we who do media, in a sense, it's quasi public service. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to then take a government job. I know there are perks. Pascal, if they give you that work, you won't take it.
Mm-hmm.
You. If they give you some, you say, Charlie, I want my peace. I don't want people to insult me. So, I'm not saying public servants should not be criticized. And I'm not saying public servants are the best people in the world. But to keep the ship of state running,
mm-hmm.
whether it's DVLA, NHIA, mm-hmm. NIA, SNIT,
ECG,
we need these people to work so we can all have peace of mind.
So that government appointees like the Ashanti Regional Minister should not use state institutions like police, the police
to oppress,
you know,
people who are doing their work to collect money. Why is the money? The money is just collecting. Is it? Is it their no, personal money? Exactly. If KTU has not paid, is it his personal? It, like, how do you? What kind of signal are you sending? You okay? So do you think if I'm a revenue officer for GRA,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in Ashanti region,
mm-hmm.
no way,
and we are doing a revenue collection,
no way will
you
I.
You think
be,
me? I'll go
no
to
where will I? I'll be committed. Do it.
Yes. And who loses?
Mm-hmm.
The so the Minister of Finance will say we want to raise 1.8 billion. Through taxes,
mm-hmm.
then you have
an institution owing 600,000 Ghana cedis. Someone goes to put their light off, disconnect them so they can retrieve the money. You call them in the night to say they should reconnect the thing, and they tell you that they have to follow due procedure. Then you send the police after the person. You know, the signal is sent. It's not good.
I won't do it. So I really, and Sky, I want to challenge all those who are running institutions
mm-hmm.
to tell us what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're it's the day of reckoning is coming.
Yep.
A number of them were given office in 2017. Mm-hmm. Some were given office in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us your achievement. And it's not PRO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This person has spoken about number of people who are in social media, 7,000 to 500,000,
mm-hmm.
800 million CDs saved, $2 million saved from... He's mentioned numbers. They will be audited. Parliament can check. And I'm sure Parliament committee in charge of Senate can invite him.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard, I thought when the Ministry of Monitoring of and Evaluation was initially set up, that was what we were to get from them, that all these appointees were going to be monitored and keenly followed their results to be published. Now we are seeing a tracker that is obviously, you know, pushed in a way that we are sure it's more political than yeah. we are seeing the results so, of the so individual right. so ministers.
We need you know? Institutions. Oh, okay. We need to look at what institutions have done, because this tracker there, it can be used for anything, you know. And by the way, there was a tracker in 2020 as well. So this is not the first.
It's always during the election year that we see these, you know. Yeah. Back to the Ashanti Regional Minister, you know, something must really give.
I think so too.
This is one too many.
Yeah.
Honestly
speaking.
This
honestly
is one speaking. Too many. And
honestly
so these are even the excesses that get into the media.
The public domain.
So you can imagine the rest that's going on and how people are using the power.
And by the way, I want listeners to comment on SNIT. So we've put out a statement made by the SNIT DG as to what he claims to have done. What has been your experience with SNIT? Okay. So for example, he spoke about customer satisfaction has improved from 52 to around 60, 70 something percent. What has been your experience? I went to SNIT to change my, you know, there was a time I had a SNIT card and then they said we should use the Ghana card.
Mm-hmm.
So, two things. I did it with my phone. So now I have just a Ghana card as my SNIT card. It was pretty cool. we interview them a lot, so we are,
yes, I remember, they were here.
We are privileged as media, so sometimes we are not treated the way ordinary Ghanaians are treated, so we may not be the best judges. So I want Ghanaians to tell me, what has been your experience with SNIT? Do you agree with the DG when he says that customer interaction has improved, customer service has increased, the scheme is more viable? TUC, tell us, are you happy with SNIT? Organized labor, that is the man speaking the truth. Okay, are your pensions safe? Civil society, what is he saying? Is it true? Let's talk about it. Send us a WhatsApp, because it's very easy. When I do SNIT programs, people call in. Okay, don't forget that there was also a change in the law that brought in tier 3, which diversified our pension options. So part of your money is paid to SNIT, part is paid to either Axis or Petra or some of those other people. That itself forced SNIT to wake up, because SNIT were notoriously lazy prior to that act coming in. That's a fact. When the government came up with that idea a few years ago, that we need a new pensions act, which brought in private pensions. See, my private pensions company, Sky, every month they send me an email. Every month they send me a text message about how much has been paid into my... Yeah. I'm telling you. SNIT hasn't done that yet. So that one, dear SNIT, you have to improve, because the customer service of my private pensions company, I go for pensions conferences. They even explain, one of them even explains its investment logic. They will tell you why they have to diversify outside Ghana, because the debt exchange and other things will hamper our money. And when it comes to people's pensions, you have to be emotional about it. All right, I went for a program with one of them. I don't want to mention names. They were talking about explaining why they put some of the money here. I think SNIT should do that a bit more often. Come out and tell us that, Obodai, we've received your money for the past 25 years. This is where we've put this. This is where we've put that. This is how we've done this. This is how we expect money to come in. By the time you are 70 years old, this is how much you'll be getting. We need to have that transparency. That they need to even send you, because they have your Ghana card, send you an email and let you know the state, the how much your contribution is. So you know that when you retire at 65 or 60 or whatever age, this is your entitlement. You should know. Because again, I've been doing an investment with one of these life insurance companies. Every now and again, they will send you something. You know, one of the guys who comes here, this is how much you have. If you want to do they call it encashment. You get it? We need those things, because it's not just scandal and political parliament. The customer service has to improve. They have to let you know you've contributed 16 straight years. Your highest 3 years was this. Your lowest 3 years was this. If you retire today,
this is what you get.
100%. So please tell us about SNIT.
Bernard, someone says I should tell you that your other dear friend at GNPC will not be able to try what the SNIT boss has done.
Okay.
Yeah, because he can't even address the staff on such achievements. It will be suicidal. You know, so
he can't address the staff.
No, he can't say that he's been able to do A, B, C, D, and
that's actually a good opportunity. You know, the government is changing the guard. I think if you're an outgoing CEO or a golden board chairman,
come and tell us what you've done.
Come and tell us what you've done. Come and face the people and say, I'm GNPC CEO. I took over 4 years ago. This is the situation I met. Here are the graphs. And we can all say.
Accountability.
Don't do PR. Call some journalists to some room. Do something and then front page story. No, don't, we won't do that.
Or even do some screens.
Do something and then or send one story that they all share. And they don't even have the
same to change. Oh,
Sky.
Headline. Everything that's same.
You read a newspaper review and you see a story that has been written for two newspapers. Charlie. Don't read it.
Same angle. Same
that,
English.
Same. How is that possible, Sky? Same story. Front page story. Same headline. Same intro.
The same everything.
It's not good crack.
But Bernard, this conversation is interesting because, you know, there are really individuals who have a lot of vision, who have the tenacity and the drive to change things.
Yeah.
And there are a number of them in public institutions who are doing very well.
Yeah.
And I'll always give you Dr. Ken Brightson of the Dodowa District or Shayo Sudoku District Hospital.
Wonderful.
Right. For 5 years straight, they have recorded zero maternal mortality.
5 years.
5 years straight. And if you go to the hospital, Bernard, you will think it's a hotel. It's well organized, properly put together.
Thank you.
And this is a Ukraine-trained Ghanaian here in Ghana. You understand?
5 years.
Yes.
Not for one maternal death.
In the beginning, in the history of the institution, in their first 5 years, they recorded zero maternal mortality rate. Right. Wow. So it tells you that they are professionals in our public space.
Leadership.
who are providing leadership, so that if you don't use your political interfering to mess things up, people are really delivering. Because people cannot be doing so well in public sector, and then suddenly we have people in the public sector and things are not working. Yeah. It really doesn't make sense.
What about UGMC? Do you know? Have you heard anything about it? Because don't forget, UGMC was a place we campaigned for.
Yeah.
It's a world-class place.
For very long time.
Do you have any reports there on how things are going?
What I know, I have some nurse friends there. And I understand that a lot of the nurses, especially in the intensive care unit, are part of those who are moving. Remember we read a report where 6,000... And these are very highly skilled people, right?
But that may not be... We are talking about...
In terms of their general operation and whether they are doing well, I've not seen any metrics that have talked about that. So it would be good to go into that a bit later.
Also encourage a scorecard of public sector institutions. There's a hospital scorecard. There can be a scorecard for state agencies. So it's not just profit, because you know when you take the state ownership report, it doesn't tell the full story.
No,
because
it really doesn't.
And profit again is not necessarily the reason, right? So when you look at just the financial bottom line, it doesn't tell. You're talking about reform. Since you're talking about the investment philosophy, all right? Even the mood. Look, it's easy to buy government paper, even banks.
Buy it and put it down.
If you had bought government paper as with SNIT money, we will be bleeding. Because the interest have been reduced from 18 to 9. Tenor has been increased from 4 to 8 years. Your money will be encumbered. So we need reform leaders. All right. And I am saying that all those CEOs who have been asked to go, bought chairman of, issue a statement. Tell us what you've done. Because Imani will check. ASEP will check, CDD will check, IEA will check, we'll all check. So I commend the SNIT DG for what he's done.
I think he's indeed set the pace. As you said, sitting here, we cannot validate everything that he said. Of course, the next few weeks will determine what other people do in terms of fact-checking some of the things he said. But it is really commendable, because the whole essence of democracy is that a government is given the authority to run the affairs of the people. And that it is expected that at a proper forum or at a proper time, they will come and account for their stewardship.
Yep.
Now, he was put in charge of SNIT for the past 7 years or so. And historically, we have been in this country and saw how SNIT, in some cases, they ran that institution to the ground. All kinds of dodgy, questionable investments were made. Hotels were bought and sold. All kinds of things were done that actually destroyed the retirement benefits of workers in this country. We saw on countless occasions, you know, worker unions or labor unions rising up and agitating against some of the investment decisions that they were making. You know, Kamla Dumont, blessed memory, also did a fantastic job trying to expose the rot going on as need at some point. So as an institution, as a government institution, we have known that historically SNIT has had a problem. Now someone came in and he's giving us an account of what he's been able to do. And it is a beautiful thing. And I think that the government or the president hasn't handled this particular matter in a tidy manner. Now, if you want to reform or you want to restructure your government, if you indeed want someone else to come in, it would have been useful to tell the gentleman or have some gentleman agreement that, look, because of A, B, and C, it would be useful to see you resign honorably and cite whatever reasons you cite, personal reasons and blah, blah, blah. Because we've seen that with some other institutions. For instance, Kelly Gajepo, he resigned and cited, what do you call it? Was it personal reason? One of those reasons he gave for resigning as board chair. So it would have been useful to see him do that, unless there are compelling reasons or he's done something wrong that the public is entitled to know, that you say that, look, I am removing you. And the language that was used, with the greatest respect, suggests that, look, you know, not all may have been well. So to go backwards, Sankofa to say, oh, it is not that he has done anything wrong. It creates... the wrong impression.
There's doubt in our mind.
Exactly.
What's
so,
really going on here?
Yeah, so what exactly is going on? Is it that you took the decision and now you are thinking about why you took the decision in the first place, or you were misled? What actually informed the decision? That is why some of us believe that
when you are appointing people, and especially this particular government, you remember when the ministers were being appointed in the first term of the government?
Hey, they gave us all kinds of things.
From Yale, from Oxford, from this, the tech, from UCC, from London School of Economics.
Yeah, all of that has stopped.
Run this and that and that and that and that.
We have the men.
At the end of 4 years,
you hype.
How have you matched your educational qualifications and all the experience you gain with your performance on the ground? At least from this SNEED boss, we can see what he's been able to achieve.
Yeah.
Even after not even having conducted a test or an audit of what he says he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But it sends a good signal.
Yep.
And I believe that all those director generals and all these big office holders, it is important that they give this account. Because when the people give you the authority, they are not giving you the authority to go and enjoy the largesse of, you know, public office. You are going there to work for and on their behalf. So we would expect that GIPC, the respected Yofi Grant, 2 months from now or so, or even in a few months, he should be able to tell us that, oh, over the last 8 years or so, I have been able to bring so much investment into the country. There were things that I came to meet that I wasn't happy about. I have transformed the space with A, B, and C. There are things still left undone. The ECG man, power sector, there were problems. Losses, technical losses were so much. And that I was able to introduce A, B, C, D interventions as to transform the space.
All right.
The guy at Ghana Gas would expect the same thing. So that at the end of the day, you make it easier for the Ghanaian public to see exactly what you have used your office for.
All right, let's get into some comments. Does your experience with SNIT match what the DG has said? He's issued a 2 or 3 page. He gave a speech. We read some excerpts for you. Some serious numbers there. Talking about the number of social media followers, saving 800 million in some instances, a $2 million saved as well in some new ICT moves, more customer engagement, sentiment analysis improves, customer service, merging the Ghana card with the SNIT card, 2.3 million cards issued, number of people on the scene from 1.3 million to 1.9. The number of people who are supposed to be self-employed more than quadrupling. These are quite staggering numbers. Nathan, what are your comments? What are comments coming?
Just quickly, let me point out. So a gentleman named Webster Felix Carfey has sent to me evidence of what he calls the SNIT periodic emails. So apparently you said that you
have... I don't receive. Uh-huh. So, but maybe he received.
So he's telling me that...
maybe I've not updated my record. I haven't received. So he has received. That's good. It means
Bernard, when we're done reading the messages, I'll share with you some state institutions that the government has been lending support to. Because they've not been profitable. So the government has been injecting financial support into them.
Bottomless.
You know?
All right, let's get into some comments.
All right, this one says, I got the message below from SNIT, and this means the world to me. I would have had to retire and be told I had no pension. Okay, so the message says, please, the student you guaranteed student loan for is due for repayment in 2024. Kindly be informed of your responsibility as a guarantor to ensure all debts are settled. And then they provide some numbers to call.
You know, if you go and guarantee for somebody, you know, the Maslow case. Some people went to guarantee for the lady and they have had to, or they were supposed to pay up to 5 million.
Yeah, the bail bond.
So that's something we should think carefully about before you do.
All right, this one says, I'm really sure the president wants to do something the SNIT boss is not giving him the chance to. Hence, he needs to bring in someone he can easily use. That's why since last week, there's been no reason to replace him. The SNIT boss really got me interested in signing up. Now I'm beginning to think twice. That's from Sincerely Neil Ntema. Frank Nkaswa, he says that, I work in a private school. 2 years ago, SNIT came to our school to educate us on the changes that were taking place there. This was the Wager branch. This one says, the MD of UGMC is the best manager in the public sector. His work at the Eastern Regional Hospital is well documented. I was privileged to be in an accountability meeting for public health facilities. As soon as he gave his introduction, the chairman asked him not to continue, because just the introduction showed he knew what he was about. Akwesi DC sent that. This one says, SNIT sends monthly statements. I've been receiving mine since I linked my Ghana card to my SNIT number. Because people are working, but the political influence, it's destroying our institutions. Take a survey of government institutions and you'll be surprised. This one says, in the last few months, a number of heads have been moved around.
Heads have rolled.
Yeah. This one says, can't you read between the lines? Help the MPP me. Doesn't see any light at the end of the tunnel for the next 4 years. They are bent on pushing hands below the table before exiting. I see.
Coded language.
Yeah. Fidelis in Asuchai Junction says, Bernard, the elephant in the room of Senate is the Ejapadia document. Don't gloss over it. See, this one says, I can say that UGMC is doing well as a client or customer. Their services are very, very good, especially their customer service. Though if Fabia Mensa womb. Generally, I always choose UGMC and recommend it to other people as well.
That's not bad.
Mimi
at all.
From Hacho. All
right.
This one says, as for Dr. Ken Brighton, I can only sum up his good deeds in one word, leadership. He's God sent. I think you should interview him one of these days. This is even a district hospital. Shah Usudoku District Hospital. There's a great deal we can all learn from them. I never regret having my two babies at their VIP ward. Top notch.
So you said they've not had a maternal death.
In their first 5 years of existence, zero maternal mortality.
Wow. Right.
District hospital.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem nationally.
And the place is looking well kept.
Bernard is spanking clean.
Wow.
You know, and you see, when you speak to him, he tells you that for all the various departments that are in the hospital, he looks out for people who exhibit promise, and then based on their interest, the hospital sponsors them to further their education, and then they come back. So everyone is motivated to give of their very best because they know that there is a reward system, there is a support system that encourages leadership and innovation, makes room for you to bring your leadership to bear.
Wow.
and make things happen.
More comments on this, 054-998-6996. Nathan, if you want to read one.
Nah says, SNIT has improved in many areas during Mr. Dr. Fori Tinkran's time. I'm surprised he's been removed. For me, he's the next best after the late Henry Day. Both men studied the system from staff and improved the system technically, financially, materially, and socially. And she says, this is not the time for change.
4 minutes past nine, we'll take a short break. I have a long message somebody sent about sanitation. I think I need to introduce that into the discourse. This is the City Breakfast Show. Stay with us.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
You say hurt me so much. I shame me, so much shame me more that much. And chana nipa huaf no nipa. I know they bother too much, but men so me what feelings be. And see we am a dear, I'm a tiny mimu. So me pesa me de wu huwe bufu be shame mu. Treat me like your brother, eh. And treat me like your sister, eh. And make me one of your own.
So it's 9 minutes past nine. We're still on the City Breakfast Show. A few quick points. GJ is launching its 75th ceremony this afternoon at the La Baume Beach Hotel on the theme 75 Years of Excellence in Journalism, Honoring the Past, Embracing the Present, Shaping the Future. And the host is, of course, Mr. President Albert Kwabena Junfo.
Man.
President, papa,
he's
a big man. Supported by special guest Honorable Kojo Ponkroma, Minister for Works and Housing, Caretaker Minister for Information, Keynote Speaker Sir Sam Jonah, and Chairperson Nana Kwesi Jana Painting, who's a former chair of NCCE. So that event is going to be held this afternoon at the Labadi Beach Hotel. Mm. Labadi Beach Hotel, right? Not that Palm. Labadi Beach Hotel. Labadi Beach Hotel. So, yeah, that's for information. Now, here are a few quick reactions before I get to Caleb.
Right.
Good morning. As for Dr. Bryson, his middle name is Excellence. My wife worked with him at the then Mamobi Polyclinic, where he was head, and she's always had praise for him. Indeed, all the staff attest to his leadership. There's another one on the SNIT boss. Charlie, good morning. Even though I don't know the SNIT man, I took him as my mentor from afar. I remember one of his first moves was... I remember one of the first moves he made after he was appointed was to cut all unnecessary travels, especially by management, among other things. That was when I knew that, nah, this man means business. Yeah. All right. So those are some of the comments coming in on the SNIT situation. I would have really loved more people to tell me what they think about SNIT, whether it's viable. There's a difference between the image of the institution and your pensions. By the way, the most important thing is your pensions. And I, you know, he didn't say anything about the average pension a Ghanaian worker gets. You know, I just noticed that was in the statement you made. And I feel that should probably be the most important thing.
An increase. Yes,
yes. And I think we need to interrogate that. Yeah. But what's the average pension you take home? We need information on that.
Yeah, I mean, that would, but also there will also be some legislative reforms necessary to deal with some of these issues because they don't just act in
a vacuum. I understand that. I understand that, yes. But there also, we are right, there even needs to be like income increases.
Exactly.
And contribution increases to them, but still.
Yeah, and then also, you know, so the reforms that you spoke about, for instance, how they invest the money. That would ultimately affect what you ultimately get at the end of the day, though. Mm-hmm. But it is, we have always been calling for reforms at SNIT in terms of how they invest.
Yeah.
This real estate thing they were doing, the SNIT at some point became a slush fund of some kind.
Everything.
They were doing all kinds of things, borrowing to government, giving them money, which money they were not paying.
Real estate housing projects that have collapsed.
Basabi.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
And Bernard, you know, he mentioned that in terms of following on social media, their engagement, their following had increased. And you might think that it's something that is insignificant. A lot of Ghanaians easily take it out on institutions on social media when they are not doing well.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any aggressive thing done on their social media to get people to follow them like that. So it means it's an organic growth that they have secured. And one thing I
don't be so sure.
Yeah.
Maybe they
well. But I'm saying one thing I heard you read from that statement is that customer satisfaction has improved. Bernard, many public institutions don't care how you feel about their services.
Customer satisfaction has improved from 69.7 in 2017.
It means they've measured it.
To 82.9.
They've been keen about how satisfied their customers are and get to know what their pain points is to see how they can improve that thing. I don't know how many state institutions really care about how you feel about their services.
Let's read a few more comments before we move to something else.
I suggest you make more emphasis on the point of people doing their work according to law and being frustrated.
Yes.
The regional minister must apologize for to the ECG boss. Thank you, Neo Kai from Male Josenda through.
All right.
The truth is December is around the corner and this... Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Toronto people
want to cash out and they are pretty aware the man would definitely make it difficult.
All right.
Bernard and team, SNIT has been sending quarterly statements. Please check your email. It's regular and prompt. Liz from Nungwa sent that through.
Have you received email from SNIT?
Yeah. I received one a few months ago.
Okay. Maybe my email address has a problem.
So I received from my the private ones.
Then the problem, not from SNIT.
I've not received from SNIT.
Then
maybe you should check your spam.
James Mail says, bro, I'll rate SNIT 88.3% on customer satisfaction. Customer satisfaction.
Yeah, okay. No wahala. Caleb, let's read that message you got.
Yes.
I got from a friend.
Aloski.
Yes.
We need to seriously talk about sanitation in Accra and by extension the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a filthy city.
Oh.
And it's become an eyesore.
Mm.
Most road medians, even along major roads, are littered with filth.
Ah.
Mostly plastic waste.
Forgive.
I got the shock of my life today when I drove up the Legon interchange from Okponglo and saw heaps of plastic waste on the field that's between the old Total filling station and the Legon police station.
True.
The situation is similar at many traffic intersections with hawkers and beggars making those places filthy. Passers-by also drop refuse indiscriminately, which is making the situation worse. Our beaches are filthy.
Oh no.
Drains and gutters are choked. And the city is fast becoming a huge rubbish dump.
Nevertheless,
some friends of mine who visited from Germany last month commented that Ghana is a nice country, but it's not clean.
Forgive.
I felt so embarrassed.
Charlie.
It seems to me that the government is not willing and able to fix their sanitation problem by first enforcing right behavior among citizens and also cleaning up the city. The Ministry of Sanitation, along with the President's promise to make Accra the cleanest city in Africa, have all become the biggest scam of the last decade.
Chai.
I'm thinking he probably forgot he made that promise. That coupled with the indiscipline by Okada riders, trotro and taxi drivers and beggars hawking on our streets, and the poor sight of our road infrastructure and power challenges have made Ghana a laughingstock among the League of Nations and our peers on the continent. Rwanda, Kenya, Senegal, and Ivory Coast have left us behind. A group of young men by the name Bastard Boys have had to take matters into their own hands, but how much can they do?
I saw them a couple of days ago at a Tesano traffic light.
In any serious country,
traffic light, very good.
In any serious country, the sanitation minister would have already resigned long ago. But not in Ghana. For now, we don't.
We don't have a minister for sanitation.
We don't.
Because they have not been appointed.
We need to get these lazy politicians who we pay taxes to fix the sanitation menace in this country working. We cannot be living like an undignified group of people in the 21st century.
Never.
If they are not willing to act, we must call them out and get them to act. At this point, I'm considering relocating my wife and kids if things don't get better.
Oh, don't do that. Things must get better. You know, that's a song by
Bernard, Accra bon, that's the reality. And crime bon. You see, Bernard, you see, if you drive, if you drive around,
you know,
and you are in your AC,
you don't know,
you're not gonna know. If you sit in trotro, right,
yep,
and it goes every other 5 minutes, it's bus stop, and they are stopping, and it's close to the roadside, and the gutter is close to you, you will feel it, and you will know that indeed our city stinks. Bernard, Kaneshi stinks. Tema Station stinks.
Oh, no.
Tema Station, don't try. Tema Station is a mess. I don't know if it has improved. Listeners can let me know.
Not far from AMA head office.
No, but you see, the drain there is always choked. Some stuff. And it's stagnant. It doesn't move. And it just really stinks. And our gutters are not covered. They are open. So all the litter from across the city, it's in there.
But Caleb, don't you think that the president has to answer this? You know, I know that.
Seriously.
I know that. The president not welcome to pollute the gutter. But he said he will make Accra the cleanest
nobody
city.
Nobody
put a gun to his head to say that.
And they have the power.
So is it that he has forgotten?
They have reneged on their promise. They have gone to
Accra
bed.
Accra is not even a clean city in Ghana.
They have gone to bed.
To make Accra the clean city in Africa is a big promise to make.
And you just go to bed. Because you see, when the president says such things, the institutions, the individuals, everyone is coming behind. We are going to make Accra the cleanest city in Africa. It's an agenda. We are pursuing it. It's something we want to do. And Bernard, I told you that we asked the deputy minister of tourism when we went to Namibia. It's a young lady. Asked her how come Namibia is so clean. And they tell us that their drive to push a lot of traffic in terms of tourists to Namibia makes them want to do everything right. So that when people get there, one, their transport system is efficient. Two, their city is clean. Sanitation even their is healthcare is on point, because at the end of the day, when people travel there, they fall sick. They must be confident that the system will take very good care of them.
I will give you a chance, and not today. I know you're on fire, but the sanitation issue is close to your heart. I know you've been tracking some information on sanitation, so we'll deal with that shortly. But I need to do a couple of quick things now.
Sharp.
One more day in the struggle. Get up on the jungle, you don't know. know the sugar no pan. Me not see her trouble no man. Said I had a close one yesterday. Jah put an angel over me, be strong. Hold up for medication. One day things must get better. Don't you go down, keep your head above the water. Say, one day things must get better. Be strong. And I say, hold up for medication. One day things must get better. Don't you go down, keep your head above the water. Turn. One day things must get better. The rich is wise in his own conceit, but the fool with overstanding searched him out. Poor man mourn the rich, riches increase. I said, be not grieved, riches are not forever. Every night the oppressor choose none of his ways. Be not wise in thine own eyes, only Jah you must praise. Strive not with the man without the cause.
920 City Breakfast Show, dreaming of the perfect sofa to upgrade this year. Your dream sofa is now reality at Latex Foam. Introducing our sensational V sofa range where comfort meets style at prices that will make your heart skip a beat. Hop onto any Latex Foam showroom nationwide to dive into a world of colors and choices. From the sleek L-shaped V sofa at just 3,100 to the complete V sofa set for an unbeatable 6,500, you will have the opportunity to elevate your living space with Latex Foam, your forever partner in comfort and luxury. Hurry, your perfect sofa awaits. Latex Foam, your partner for life. And let's celebrate Ghanaian authenticity with the latest GTP New Style collection, with unique designs inspired by our culture and embedded with symbols that unite us as Ghanaians. Go ahead and grab the new Ghana Month collection from GTP, available at all accredited GTP nationwide dealers. You can also go online to shop.gtpfashion.com. Let your outfit say, I am Ghanaian, I wear GTP, me free Ghana. Check the authenticity of our GTP fabric that you buy by matching the code on the edge of the fabric with the code on the label. It's that time of the morning where our questions to the GRA are answered. This morning, we have not one but two officials of the Ghana Revenue Authority. They want to talk about tax and good governance. Indeed, they have decided to name the month Tax and Good Governance Month. No, the month is called April, but GRA, they say the month is called Tax and Good Governance Month. And they, of course, we know what they do, right? They mobilize revenue for government. And one of the things they've done is also do public education. And this month, the focus is on tax and good governance. Filing of personal income tax returns. What does it mean? What does it comprise of? In studio, Felicia Omotayo Owusu, GRA DTRD. What is DTRD?
Domestic Tax Revenue Division. Sorry?
Domestic Tax Revenue Division, Spintex. As against port tax.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Martin Colville Yamborgia, Assistant Commissioner Audit, LTO. LTO is the large taxpayer office. So they are the big people. Gentlemen and lady, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've decided to name the month Tax and Good Governance Month. Who gave you that right? Who gave you that power to name the month? Is this for you or for us?
Well, it's for all of us, Bernard. The reason why we call it Tax and Good Governance Month is that every year we set aside the month of April to sensitize taxpayers or create awareness on the importance of filing their income tax returns and then payment of tax. And why April? Because by law, anybody who earns income has up to the end of April, that is April 30, to file their income tax return for the previous year. So normally, a year we're talking about, if you're an individual, your basic period is from January 1 to 31st December. So whatever income that you earned last year, for example, for the year 2023, the law requires that not later than the 30th of April, you should be able to file a return and tell us how much income you actually earn based on which your correct taxes will be determined. So we call it Tax and Good Governance Month because we want to educate the taxpayers as well as the general public on the importance of fulfilling their tax obligations.
Wonderful. So who is required to file a return?
Okay. So we are looking at individuals, we are looking at companies, trusts, partnerships. All of them are supposed to register and file their tax returns. Why are we saying that? We are saying that the mandate is on the individual. Let's say that, Bernard, as you are working here, your employer is supposed to deduct the taxes and pay on your behalf. But at the end of the year, the law demands that you would have to file your tax returns to us. In the sense that we have three sources of income. We have the business income, we have employment income, we have investment income. So you might be earning employment income here, but you are doing other businesses that you are also earning income. So we require that you consolidate all the sources of income and then file a tax return to the Ghana Revenue Authority.
So even though my company is the one that technically pays the tax, I have to make sure that they've done it. So if they've not done it, it's my fault. Even though my company that does it, for many people, like they pay you maybe 4,000 cedis.
Yes.
As gross, but they take out SNIT and your tax, so the net is 3,000.
Yeah.
And then the finance manager will then send the tax
to the GM.
But it's my job.
It's your
responsibility.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility at the end of the basis period.
So if he doesn't do it, I am at fault.
No, for a monthly basis, he is at fault if he does not deduct the taxes and pay to the GRE. At the end of the year,
I have to go and...
You have to, because the law demands that you would have to file your tax return. That's why I'm explaining that we have three sources of income. So you might be earning employment income here, but you also have a business somewhere, or you have an investment somewhere that you are earning income on those investments. It means that you are supposed to consolidate all the income and then submit the tax return to the Ghana Revenue Authority.
That's fair.
Because your employer doesn't know that maybe you have a business income that you are earning. Let's say let me give an example. You are a media presenter. You have, let's say, MC a program, or you have a business somewhere that you are doing. Let's say you set up a company that you are running businesses. Your employer might not know that you have all these kind of...
So you know all your sources. Exactly.
So the mandate is on you.
So this question is moot. You've already answered, why should I file my taxes? So what are the rights of the taxpayer? I think that's the next question then.
Okay. So let me take that. So the rights of the taxpayer has a right to information. When we say information, anything that bothers the taxpayer, he has the right to call on the GRE for explanation. So you can put it into writing, let us know what exactly that you need in terms of maybe your tax obligations. You are supposed to let us know. Then the taxpayer has a right for somebody to represent him. So our tax auditors are there. In case you don't understand anything, you walk to the tax auditor. The tax auditor would come and represent you. This is my tax auditor. In case you have any challenges, please deal with my tax auditors. Let's say you need any other information. Let's say that you came to GRE that you want your taxes to be. You want the amount that you are supposed to pay. If you don't come to the GRE, or the GRE has not come to you, when we were doing provisional assessments, normally we would assess you and then come and give it to you. But currently, as we are sitting here, we are doing self-assessment. So if you do not self-assess, then the GRE will self-assess you. Then also, we keep your information confident. There's confidentiality when it comes to...
Go ahead.
There is confidentiality when it comes to dealing with us. We don't just disclose information. We have to make sure that even if we have to disclose information, there's a law that says that there are some particular people that we are supposed to disclose information. Example is the minister. So if we do not keep those rights, then it means that we are giving our taxpayers out. I think my boss can add something.
Yes. I wanted to ask you how we do the filing. How do we file our tax return?
Okay, thank you very much. So, very important. In the past, these tax returns were filed manually, where you had to walk to a Ghana Revenue Authority office. But now it has been digitalized, so you now file it online.
Okay.
So we have a portal that is available on app stores and Play Store. It's also available when you go to any of the the search engines. You can easily download it, and it is called Taxpayer Portal. This Taxpayer Portal is an app that you can use to file and pay your tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is that if you are already not signed up onto it, you just download it, add it to your phone or any tablet where you have, or you can just go with your laptop. Then you sign in. You need your tax identification number.
Mm-hmm.
And for individuals, your Ghana card number is now used as your tax identification number. So you just need to put in your tax identification number. Then you also indicate the particular email that you'll be using, because most of the communication will be coming to you through email, and then your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put in that, the system will require you to set your own password.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, you are good to go. Now, when you have it done, or if you are already registered, then all you simply do is to sign in or log into that system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you log in, there are a lot of information in it. You can pay your returns, you can make inquiries and others. But there is a portion there that says file return.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to file return. And because this amount, as you have indicated, is a good governance and tax and good governance month, when you go into the portal, it indicates how many days you are left with. So I'm sure today it will tell you that you are left with 13 days to file your return, and it's highlighted. So when you click on it, it will, a form will drop down, and that form you will then choose the kind of return you want to file. So if you are an individual and you have business income, employment income, investment income, you take on all. But if your only source of income is employment, you take on only employment, then the information will come, you fill.
Okay.
When you finish, then it will ask you to confirm that you have completed. Then it will tell you have completed. If you are sure, it will then ask you that you can save and submit. When you say save and submit, immediately the system will calculate whatever taxes you have to pay based on the information you have put in and let you know whether you have an outstanding amount to pay. Or you have overpaid your tax during the year, of which JRA have to make a refund.
Okay.
If you have an outstanding amount to pay, there's a button that will say pay now. If you say yes, yeah, you can go ahead and then make the payment, which can be done either through your bank or you can use a Momo.
Wonderful. What about filing tax returns on income from foreign investment? Does it follow the same process?
Yes, it follows the same process. And let me explain that, yes, it is very important, and I'm happy that you have asked this question. A lot of people seem not to be aware that when we talk about income, we're not just talking about income that you earn within the source of Ghana. If you look at Section 3 of the Income Tax Act 2015 at 896, Section 111 and Section 103, 111 in particular says that a person's income from foreign source is subject to tax in Ghana. So you have to include that in your income in Ghana. And then you pay. So when you go into the form, it has a portion that puts the income that is earned from Ghana and the income that is earned from a foreign source. Then you put in the figures. The calculation will be done automatically for you.
And hold on. This income earned from outside Ghana, is that a new tax that was being talked about?
No, it's not a new tax at all. Yeah. So what happened is that up to 2015, we have the principle of taxation. As a resident person, I want to talk about a resident person. Let's take, for example, individuals. If you are a citizen of Ghana who has a permanent home in Ghana, or you're a citizen in Ghana and you have not been absent from Ghana for a period of 365 days, or you are not a citizen of Ghana, but you are present in Ghana for a period of 183 days or more, you are resident.
Okay.
Now, for being resident, you are liable to tax on a worldwide income. That is income that you earn from Ghana and income that you earn from outside. What happened is that before 2015, you needed to bring that income to Ghana before you can be taxed.
Okay.
That means that if I earn income outside and that income remains outside there, I'm not liable to pay tax until I bring it into the country. But what the law changed as far back as 2015, which took effect from 1st January 2016, is that if you have income, whether you have brought in the income or not, once you are a resident of Ghana, that income should be subject to tax in Ghana. And the good thing is that whatever tax that you have paid on that income outside will be deducted from the tax that you are supposed to pay in Ghana. So it's not a new tax. It's been there since 2015. Now, what is also making the information new is that we have signed up into with other countries, at the moment with over 170 countries. And this standard reporting system requires that any resident of any country that has a bank account in any country outside, they give the information to the country of residence.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have information on residents of Ghanaians who hold foreign accounts outside.
Mm.
And until 2021, 2022, we didn't have that information.
Okay.
So that is what is making it look like it's new, because you were supposed to do that
service. So it's been there, but you are now going to implement it.
We are now going to implement, because we now have data, or we now have the information that shows that maybe Bernard has an account in UK, and we didn't know. You were supposed to require, you didn't. But now we now have that information. And we are also using that opportunity to tell people that if you know that you had a foreign income,
mm.
but all this while you were not disclosing it to us, you have not been given us the accurate information, we want to give you a window of opportunity. So there's a program that we call Special Voluntary Disclosure Program.
Mm.
Special Voluntary Disclosure Program, the SVDP. Now, this is to enable all persons mm-hmm. of such nature to voluntarily come and declare. Then when you come and declare, we have amended Section 74 of the Revenue Administration Act, which imposes penalty for providing false or misleading information.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is that when you now come and make that disclosure information, then whatever penalties or sanction that would have been imposed on you for failing not to disclose, then you are given an exemption. So it is mm-hmm. not a new tax.
Mm-hmm.
It has been there. And all those who know tax, if you go to the Internal Revenue Act, Income Tax Act
mm-hmm.
2015, you see that it's already right. there.
We're talking to Assistant Commissioner of GRA, Dr. Martin Yamborigia, who is the man speaking, and also Felicia Omotayo Owusu, GRA, DTRD, Spintex branch. We're just looking at the Good Governance and Tax Month. And they're talking about this law, which has been there, but it's now being operationalized. So just to be clear, are you giving any dispensation for people who have not sort of, they have had income, they've concealed it, including incomes and outside, right? Yeah. Is there any dispensation for them to sort of regularize? And then are there any sanctions if a person conceals such income? If okay. you can comment on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we are looking at persons, the revenue, just as my boss said, the Revenue Administration Act, Section 74 of it has been amended so that any person who comes to us mm-hmm. voluntarily and discloses that, oh, I made an income for the previous years, let's say 2022, there's an income that you made 2021, mm-hmm. and the person voluntarily comes mm-hmm. to us
mm-hmm.
that this is the income that I made, that I did not declare it, so I am now coming to declare it,
mm-hmm.
then the way we are going to waive that penalties
mm-hmm.
that is on that income. And then another thing is that because you have come to us,
mm-hmm.
that same section, hitherto we would have imposed a penalty
mm-hmm.
of, let's say, 30% of the income that you have not disclosed to us.
Mm-hmm.
But because we are being nice to you, we are here to educate you and then to let you know that we expect that every income, it is worldwide income. So every income that you have earned,
mm-hmm.
you are supposed to do what? Come and declare to us. So mm. that we call something a false and misleading statement.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't disclose everything to us, then it mm. means that you have misled us.
Mm.
Because you have misled us, then there's a penalty that goes with all right. it.
Let's deal with pay deductions and how they'll be credited to the individual's tax ledger.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, so when we started, Felicia indicated that if you're an employee mm. of a company, it is the duty of your employer on a monthly basis to deduct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you to be credited, if you provide your employer with your TIN, which is your Ghana card number,
mm-hmm.
then the system will automatically credit whatever tax that your employer have deducted on your behalf to you.
Mm.
So if you go to your ledger now, you would have seen some payment provided your employer had provided your TIN to the Ghana Revenue Authority, the system will credit you automatically.
Mm-hmm.
However, if your employer haven't done that, then you need to provide that information to your tax office. Then they can pass an adjustment to credit to you. Other than that, once you file your return, the system is going to calculate the tax that you have paid. And the system will only recognize taxes that you have paid from the system.
Mm.
So you need to provide that information. So we're encouraging all employees to submit their Ghana card number to their employer. So once that is given to GRA, anytime the payment is made on your behalf at the end of the month, mm-hmm. the system will automatically credit you with that. And then at the end of the year, when you now file your returns and the taxes are calculated, then once you already have that payment, it will deduct and then show a difference of either overpayment or underpayment.
Let me read questions that have come in from some listeners. Okay. Dr. Wahab from Ashesi University says, good morning, Bernard. Good program. Ask if the GRA will refund to individuals or companies who have overpaid their taxes for the year.
Yes, okay. We do. In fact, Section 66 to Section 68 of the Revenue Administration Act makes it clear that within 3 years, if you have an overpayment, you can apply to the Commissioner General for a refund. When you apply to the Commissioner General for a refund, the Commissioner General will have to certify it. And within 60 days after it has been certified, the Commissioner General has an obligation to refund the money to you. If the Commissioner General doesn't refund the money to you, the law requires that the Commissioner General will have to pay you interest on that amount. And I can tell you that we have been making refunds. In fact, we set aside 6% from the consolidated fund for refund, tax refund. Okay. And we have been doing it very religiously.
Another question. Bernard, please ask your guests, why do they not educate the public on tax reliefs too? He sent me a tax relief application form. And he says, people, you educate people to pay tax. But I don't tell the people that there's also tax relief that they can apply for.
Well, so we do. And that is
one of the questions you asked me to ask.
Okay. So one of the... So if you look at the rise of the taxpayer as you asked Felicia, one of them is reliefs. And one of the importance of filing your tax return is that you have the opportunity to get your relief. In fact, some of the reliefs are even granted upfront. Be at the end of the month, when your employer is doing your monthly deductions, they'll grant to you. There are some that you get it only upon filing your returns. Okay. So we want to encourage as many people as possible that please, it is your right. Apply for it. So all those who are listening to us, visit the nearest tax office to you and tell them that you want to apply for whatever reliefs that are available to you. Okay. So we have marriage reliefs, we have child education relief, we have old age relief, we have aged dependent relief, we have disability relief, and we even have cost of training reliefs.
Wow.
And then we have mortgage interest. Bernard, it will interest you to know that if you borrow any money to construct or acquire your first house of residence, whatever interest that you pay on that loan, it is deducted before your taxes are calculated.
All right.
Yeah, so these are
really... Let me read two final questions. Yeah. Please ask your guests, what is a rentable value? They used to calculate property rates. I don't know whether it's part of your remit for today.
Well, that is under the district assembly. When they are doing property rate, that's under the district assembly. And then we used to have a program with them, but for some time now, I think that have been put on hold.
Let me read a final one. I am a government employee and my income taxes are deducted at source, yes, controller. Yes. How do I get tax returns and statements that show I pay tax from the GRA? That's question one. Two, in 2020, I wanted to start a new business, so I went to GRA Kumasi Edum to register for a tax certificate. They charged me 3 months ahead of the taxes of a business which I haven't started yet. I don't see the logic, hence I abandoned my sole proprietorship. Kojo Inoibi Hills.
Okay, so let me take the first one. Yes, so for employees, the law requires that not later than 31st January of the next year, your employer should make available a statement showing how much income you earn and how much taxes that they paid on your behalf. Okay. Then will you then use that. So if your employer is not making, so for example, GRA, our employer will normally make that available to every one of us. They'll give you a schedule showing how much income you earn and then how much tax have been paid on you, and that is what you use to file your return. So your employers will give you. So if you are from controller, please ask your controller or your accountant at your various departments to do that for you.
All right.
Now, the person who went to register a new business, yes, if you are registering a new business, if the business have not started at all, you may not have a tax to pay. But we are operating a system called self-assessment, where everybody is expected at the beginning of the year to determine in advance how much income you will earn.
Oh my God.
No, so it's an estimate.
It's an estimate.
It's an estimate. Then you are supposed to estimate how much income
you
earn.
And pay it ahead.
And pay it on a quarterly basis. Not ahead. You only pay at the end of the quarter.
He said he was asked to pay it at the beginning.
No. So maybe that might be an... you are supposed to pay it at the end of the quarter.
So not at the beginning.
Not the beginning. Wonderful. So you pay it at the end of the quarter, first quarter, second quarter and third quarter.
Okay.
Yes, so that is how it is.
Thank you for coming. We have had to end now.
Thank you very much for the time.
Dr. Martin Colbill Yamborigia, Assistant Commissioner for Audit LTO, and Felicia Owusu, GRA DTRD, Spintex Branch.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
Can you lift up those two hands now as we come into his presence? There certainly is a visitation of his power in this place. To the back of the auditorium, let's give him glory. He is in this place right now.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City
97.3. Let your praises be.
Let your praises be.
Oh,
your glory.
Give the glory
to that
King of Kings. To your majesty, Lord. Let's give them glory.
Amazing sound. This was done in 1987? Boy, I was nowhere to be found. But the amazing stuff is that the voice behind this sound is right here before me, a man I've greatly admired for a long time, and what a privilege to get to then have a conversation with the Reverend Eric Kwapong. Wow, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you. Thank you for those kind words.
No,
thank
I mean,
you.
I this would be probably the first time we're meeting in person, but I've always
said it
way back before. When I was in Lagos, I've always seen you, heard you, and I thought, what a fine gentleman, what a noble man this man
you
should be.
You are so kind. You should see me, you know, in my other elements. It's not nice.
It's not that nice.
No,
you
won't
like what
it.
I see. No, but it's good to have you.
But thank you. Thank
Reverend
you so much.
Eric Kwapong.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
I've heard about the Leaders in Worship event.
That's correct.
And I am intrigued about it. I think that it's a timely thing because very
thank
often,
you.
If you're a leader in any space, if you go out there even for a gospel event, people see you and suddenly they start telling you all their problems or
that's
they want
true.
To take photos with you and they're mopping you and all of that. And you don't even get time to have a good quality worship in the presence of God.
Indeed.
Even for secular, for corporate
other events,
absolutely. You find people do that. So
yes.
I thought that, wow, an event for leaders in worship is very timely.
Absolutely.
But first of all, who is Reverend Eric Kwapong?
Well, Eric Kwapong is just, this guy you see here, I just try to love the Lord. But one of the things Eric Kwapong is very, very conscious of is that this whole life we live is just pure grace and mercy. I mean, absolute grace and mercy. The opportunity to minister to people, touch lives. Sometimes you hear people say things that you just know this is not you. This is just some grace and mercy that's
at
work.
I see you're being very modest here.
No, but
you're being very modest here.
But you know, it is the truth because if you sort of divorce yourself from that, whatever is at work, you know, through you that makes, you know, that gets people blessed, you realize you're just as clay and as human, mortal. As those who praise you and say all the nice things about you. So there must be somebody responsible for...
For the oil.
For you're deep this morning, I tell you. You know, and for all of that. So true. Right. I mean, very seriously,
right.
I believe with all of my heart that this is just God, pure grace, His mercy. And you know, that's it. Of course, you work, you study, you pray.
You
work hard at it. You put it on. I don't want to be, you know, simplistic as though there's no human effort.
Right.
You know, there is clear human effort. Mm. But
the results, increase.
The increase. It really, even the strength to work, the energy to work, the breath. I mean, wait till you go to a morgue, a mortuary, or you go to a funeral, see somebody lying there as great as they used to be, so great.
But that's just it.
And then that tells you even the breath, the life, must be attributed to this God of all life. And, you know, so it really goes back to Him, and it should. I mean, it should. There has to be this conscious effort to... you know, to make it so.
Let's talk about the leaders in worship now. I mean, I have just shared with you my impression when I heard the name leaders in worship.
Yes.
But you tell us how this came about.
Okay, this came about, first of all, from the simple premise. Now, this God we serve created leaders. He created the place for leaders. In Ezekiel, the scripture is clear. He said, you know, the land was full of all the deterioration, the degeneration. And the scripture says, he said, I sought for a man, of course, a woman. So I sought for a human being to stand in the gap. He said, I found none.
Mm.
And so I poured indignation on the land. What it means, therefore, is that the critical solution to people's degeneration, a nation, a society's degeneration, or backward progress, retrogression, what have you, all sits on the shoulders of this individual you call a leader.
Mm.
A leader, one who occupies a position of responsibility, major decision-making, policy-making, a leader whose decisions influences lives, influence a whole constituency. It's like a judge with a gavel in the hand who hits down the gavel, and your destiny changes just with the sound of a gavel. 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, 2 years, however long, a man, a human being, lady, gentleman, woman, man, sitting in this seat, in this, you know,
place
gown,
of influence.
Place of power, awesome power. So with such people, what do you do with them? Because we are all human and you are human, because you also sit, you know, in a place of influence, because you talk and you influence tens of thousands of minds. Now, people like yourself, all anybody in responsible leadership, you know, a position as we've described, should be encouraged, should be strengthened, should be supported in any way, every way possible, because it's in our interest that they are encouraged and all of that.
Mm.
Again, it's not for nothing that the scripture said, pray for kings and those in authority so that we, you, the ones doing the praying, will live in a quiet, you know, live a quiet and peaceable life. That means the benefits of supporting anybody in such a position of responsibility comes back to you.
Right.
They grapple,
because again, if you strike the shepherd,
indeed,
the sheep will be smitten.
Indeed. And there are several thoughts we can find both within the space of faith and religion, if you like, and
commerce.
The regular world, philosophy, all of that, to support this conversation, to support this position, that you have to find a way to encourage leaders. Yes, as much as you hold them responsible and hold them to the fire, hold their feet to the fire, there also has to be the place where they are encouraged and strengthened and all that. And we have chosen this path where they must be encouraged and strengthened. And that's the whole point for leaders in worship, if you ask. Now, point number two is, leaders in worship is a time and space and place where people like that will come together and just in an atmosphere of worship, strengthen themselves, rejuvenate, refresh, refire, refuel, all within the context of worship. So it's a time for leaders, as we have described, to just come together and just worship and draw strength, draw, refueling and all of that.
I like it.
What better can a leader do than to sit before the leader of all leaders who gave that power? According to 1 Chronicles 29, David said, all power is from him. So the source of all power from God. So if we went back to the source of grace and strength and all of that, then I believe we'll be in the right place. So this is who Leaders in Worship is targeting, and this is what Leaders in Worship is about.
Right. So when is it happening?
It is happening this Friday, this Friday.
Right.
And that is the 19th of April. And it is for everybody listening to me, hearing me. Please talk to somebody, tell somebody. And this is not for the general public. I must say this. So, because we don't want to have to turn people away, because this is for this group. And I cannot say it enough. CEOs, MDs, heads of organizations, board members, board chairs, people in positions of leadership. We have, parliamentarians coming, because it's open to people in, positions of responsibility and leadership. Mm. So it is important that this group, come and, gather and experience the worship. And there'll be other moving parts.
Okay.
Like, there'll be some satire, a little bit of satire, spoken word. And special music, some little bit of jazz music, and Lumina, a classical group will also be
Lumina
there.
Lumina Classical.
Yes.
Amazing.
A great
fantastic
team.
Fantastic group of people.
So all of these, but it's all this Friday, and you can't miss it.
6 p.m.?
6 p.m., but come at 5, start coming at 5, because we'll have a meet and greet.
Okay.
Because part of what we also want to do with this is to get people to connect. For example, there are people who will be coming there who are amazing resources for this nation. I mean, people who are so versed in, say, the cocoa industry, but who are Christians. You'll be amazed at their knowledge, their knowledgeability.
They so there's an opportunity to network when we
network
come.
And connect and all of that. Again, all of it, 19th of this month, Friday.
Which is this very Friday.
Show up at 5.
Let's meet 5:30, and greet.
Let's meet and greet.
Let's get into the mood.
Let's get into the mood. And your life will never be the same. Go to ericquapongministries.org. ericquapongministries.org and register.
Right. Do we get to pay?
No, it's a free event. Oh, wow. And it's a free event because of the Apostle Samuel Atamensah and the entire City Group.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because you've been so supportive,
amazing,
so helpful. Others like GH1, Star FM and Co., Thamani Global, Bill, Maxwell Properties, Unique Floral, Maker's House, ICGC.
Nice.
And of course, again, other sponsors, Cut to Fit. You like this shirt I'm wearing?
I love it.
Yo, you do?
I do.
Okay, I'll tell Cut to Fit to make you one.
One that fits.
But Samuel Atamensah, the Apostle.
Awesome.
I cannot thank him enough.
Awesome.
And all of you.
Reverend Eric Kwapong, one of your daughters just entered the studios.
Really?
Zoe Abubedu is here.
Get out of here. his dad is one of the apostles at ICGC. Well, one of the leaders.
Yes. So I'm sure we'll be there on Friday.
Yes, we will.
Okay. Nice. Super.
Good
I
one there.
We were here. She sings, you know that.
My sister.
Your sister, rather.
My sister does.
Oh, your sister does. Yes. Okay. Yeah, because they sang for me when I was in Kumasi.
Oh,
but
amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you, Reverend Eric Kwapong. It's a pleasure joining you for Leaders in Worship.
Thank you so much.
You heard us talk to
Reverend Eric Kwapong there. But finally, before I bring Zoe in, just to let you know that if you're a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, look no further than Ghana Grows Program, is brought to you by MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, there's opportunities open to you. So please call us on 0308-255-775. Let's do more together. Embrace a Greek and 80 vet careers with Ghana Grows.